Blog Talk Radio.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it! Grab it!
Mary had a little lamb, and quite a soul. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Oh! Oh!
I never once said nada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese.
And welcome back to Truce on the Radio, live for you Monday, January 9th, 2012, just after 7 o'clock on the East Coast. And thank you all for tuning in. We actually had a great week last week, and we're really, really excited about coming back this week because of the amazing week we had last week. For those of you who missed it, last week we managed to get G-Dep, the former Bad Boy rapper who had that song, Let's Get It. Take this money, make this money, ain't no way you can take... I don't know what the heck the song goes. I have no idea how this song goes. I'm almost certain I have the song here, but... He had that, you know, little Harlem Shake music videos they had or something. Anyway, but I met him once before. The first time I actually met G-Dep, he was on when I was doing the Star and Buck Wild show. He had come down with P. Diddy and Black Rob when he had first started his career. He showed up late. He would probably admit that he was under the influence at the time that he showed up. P. Diddy was not happy about that particular day. And, you know, as you've heard G-Dep say himself, you know, he was going down that road. And it led him to where he is today. Now, understand what I mean when I say that, is that with the abuse that he was pretty much undertaking in his life, he decided that he was going to come clean about something he had done back in 1993. Unfortunately, a young man lost his life. According to the story, due to a robbery, G-Dep some 17, 18 years later, in trying to get his life in order and making his peace with God, decided that he was going to come clean and make his peace. And a lot of people are saying, you know, and it's usually, and let me be frank, a lot of Negroes, a lot of shiftless Negroes, pathetic, nasty, disgusting, shiftless Negroes. They don't have enough guts to take ownership, to be accountable. That's not in their vocabulary. So the people who don't have that vocabulary, they were quick to judge G-Dep and say, oh, how dare you, the cops had nothing on you, you could have lived your life. So what, man? They ain't find out, you don't give them nothing. But G-Dep had a higher calling. And most people know he did. He had a higher calling. He said it himself, and you'll listen in the interview. I'll let him tell you. But he saw his life going down a road. He saw his life going down a hole. And sometimes God tells you, you have to take the or make the ultimate sacrifice for me to save you. I'm prophesizing now. But you know that's what it takes. Your life is in danger, G-Dep. And you're going to die out here. Make something of your life. Come. Come. Meet me here. You're going to have to be locked up in Rikers Island for a little while. And you're going to go through the trials and tribulations of a prosecutor doing what it is that they're trying to do to you. But you know what? I love you. And I will take care. I will take care of you. And he went out there and he did that. So for those of you who missed it, here's an opportunity to listen to the interview again. And I'd like to thank a couple of people. Let me make sure that I say thank you to these people. Double XL Magazine, SOHH.com. Even those people over at that, I don't even know what to call them, but the Ricky Smiley Show, Talk 106 in Boston. They all did features on the interview that we did, the exclusive that we did, and I appreciate them for getting the word out. They didn't have to promote my name, but you know what they did? And they showed respect, and I appreciate that they did that. They mentioned Reese on the radio on those. If you'd like to read them yourself, please go online to any one of those sites. Double XL Magazine, of course, they were the first ones to put it out. I didn't even send them a press release telling them that I had met with, that I had talked with G. Depp, or not I even knew him. And we didn't really send any feelers out that we were going to be introducing him or talking to him on the show, but we did, and you know they got the word out. So we appreciate those people for doing that. So again, for those of you who missed it, here's an opportunity for you to hear it yourself for the first time. And those of you who heard it before, here's an opportunity to grasp onto what it is that you didn't hear before. Here's G. Depp on Reese on the Radio last Thursday, right here on blogtalkradio.com. All right, it's Reese on the Radio, and we are live. We were going to go into Therapy Thursday, but I've been telling you guys for the last couple of days that I was going to be talking to someone very, very important. On the line with us is rapper G. Depp, who is calling us live from Rikers Island at this moment right now. I've got him on speakerphone, so I'm going to do my best to make sure that you guys can hear him. G. Depp, I know you can hear me. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, what's good, man? Well, thanks for having me, Big Reese. You know, everything is all right, though, you know?
Yeah, and again, definitely, man. Praise God. What I have to say to you, and I know we're not going to get into the details, but if I could break it down real quick, you did what I would consider a very, very noble thing. You came forward about a death of a young man, and you came into the 24th precinct, I believe it was, in Harlem, and you were accountable. And you were accountable. You went there and you told them what it was that happened. I think that some people couldn't do what it is that you did. And I think that a lot of people out there who know you and know this case, you know, they're baffled because they're going, you know, wow, man, after all of this time to come forward was such a big thing. So tell me what it is that you'd like to say in reference to that.
I mean, you know, it's not really nothing, you know, too complicated, man. I mean, you know, I can't really, you know, I don't want to, you know, go into a lot of detail, you know what I'm saying, because it would really be unnecessary, you know
right,
what
right.
I'm saying? I mean, most of it is, you know, cut and dry, but I mean, you know, it's one of the things where I think anybody, you know, people say wow and all of that, but I think, you know, anybody really would have, you know what I mean, did what I did, you know what I mean? If they were in that situation.
And I want to talk to you about that. What you did, I think, not only took a lot of courage, I think that you should be commended for that, regardless of the other side of it. I understand that it was recently reported in the news that the prosecutors are asking for 15 years to life. Your bid to get that sentence reduced failed. But I think a lot of people need to understand that what you did was a really, really, I mean, it was an incredible thing, all things considered. I talked to guys at Rikers, and they all, you know, looked at this whole situation and said, oh, man, he's crazy. Why would he do that? You know, he didn't have to do that. But you, as your story goes, says that you needed to make your peace with God, which I think is a brilliant thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Oh, I mean, I don't even know what to say, man. Except thank you, you know, that's all, you know, that's basically, you know, all I could really say about that, you know what I'm saying, because, you know, that's how I feel about it, so, you know, anything else is like, I don't want to even start to, you know, rant on about what's this, and, you know, and other subjects, and why you shouldn't do it, that was it in a nutshell, and that's something that I don't even want to really speak on too much.
Right, and you shouldn't because it's still a pending case.
Yeah, it's still going on. It's something real, you know, something real special to me, man. I don't really like to use that word too much, but you know, it's sacred to me what's going on with this thing here, you know?
And I think that's the one point that I wanted to get across. Regardless of the details of what happened and what happened in the past, what you did today, and I think that is what really needs to be paid attention to, is that for someone to come forward and do what it is that you did, and I don't want to use the word commended, but I think it needs to be acknowledged. And what I would like to do, and the reason why I asked you to call in, was that I wanted the prosecutors or whomever it is or people listening, I wanted them to stand out and say, you know, this guy, regardless of what happened, he came forward. That's something that a lot of people won't do. If you look at the lexicon or the group, the people or the zeitgeist of something like this, most people would walk away. But you saw something happening in your life that said to you or that said maybe your life was going down the road that was going because you needed this moment or this point to come forward and to do something righteous. In a sense, I always say there's a difference between righteous and self-righteous, and self-righteous is doing what you think is right. You did what was right, period.
Oh, wow. That's real, man. I don't think nobody broke it down like that. That word right there is a strong word, man.
Well, it is. I think, and again, your past is your past. It always will be. You can't go backwards. You have to live in the now, and I look at the now, and I say that I commend you, because it's a tough thing to do. It's a very, very tough thing to do. You know, I was in Rikers Island. I know that place. I know what that place does to people. I know how that breaks them down. I know how spirit can be lost. And I hope you still have your spirit, because what you did was righteous, my man.
Oh, man. Thank you, man. I mean, you know, I'm day-to-day, I'm getting through day to day. You know, sometimes, you know, like anything, you know, you feel down, but the ups and downs are, you know, it's something that I needed to deal with anyway. You know, I was out in the street, you know, and I wasn't really dealing with anything anyway. So, you know, the ups and downs are probably, you know, it's probably more beneficial that it goes this way anyway, you know.
If I can ask you a very, very personal question with the trials and tribulations, not the case in general, but where your life was when you made this decision, did you think that your life was going down such a horrible road that you kind of said, like, I might die out here doing what it is that I'm doing?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I felt like I was going nowhere fast, actually. It wasn't really... You know, it was like Groundhog Day. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Perfect analogy. Groundhog Day. It was the same day over and over again, and it never ever changed.
Yeah. You know, I was going through the day. Somebody was waiting for me to do something. Well, we gonna, you know, play your game.
But
not anybody. You know what I mean? I don't mean, you know, in a literal sense. I mean, like, you know. It was just, you know, situations were telling me to do something, and if I was gonna be, you know, an idiot, and you know, just keep acting like I didn't understand what was going on, I was just gonna just keep going further into the hole. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and I think if you may not see this now, and most people wouldn't, but I think for you. Personally, from what I see, I think right now what it is that you did bringing you out of that hole, because your only peace comes from God. Forget about the rest of the world. They don't know. They don't understand. They're just human beings. Your peace will and shall come with God. God will take care of you, because God is the only person that we know that can forgive, that can truly understand and can say to you, my son, my child, I love you no matter what. And if that is your mission, to make your peace with God, then you need your peace. I'm there with you, and I support you for doing what it is that you did. And I'm going to do whatever it is. That's why I wanted you on the show, because I want people to know what you did is commendable. Not the actions that you took. What you did in the past is the past. But what you did to rectify that in some way was a brilliant thing. It was a righteous thing. And if I may ask you one last question, do you have or have you had any sort of contact? I don't even know if I guess I could ask. Have you had any contact or any response from the victim's family? Or are they supporting you? Are they maybe – are they pushing the 15 years to life? I mean,
I don't really know, who's enforcing, what's going on with the as far as the time or whatever or anything like that. On that level, I just know, that was what the court came with, and I heard from the people, from the victim's family, God bless the dead. It was just, what was in the paper, they kind of was just, they made their comment about what was going on, and that was it. That was really, I don't really have any other contact with those people or nothing.
Okay.
But, I'm definitely, trying to, work on something maybe that'll rectify our situation somewhat. I know,
Right. You want to make your peace with them as well, because they did suffer a loss. Now, to get to the point, I hear that you're now writing a book,
right.
And you're talking about pretty much your plight so far and what it is that you've gone through. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, I mean, well, the book is, it's an autobiography. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where, I'm not trying to explain, or justify anything. It's just I'm trying to, just give people, another, the last, my last option. Obviously, I can't record, so, I don't know if people are even wondering what's going on or even care, but, I just think that, this is something that, from an artistic point of view that would, kind of close out what I was doing. For now, you know what I'm saying, and I think it might answer some people's questions. So I think that's something I'm gonna work on. I'm basically what you were gonna say. I'm sorry.
No, I was gonna say that. Do you think that this book and it's poetry? If I'm correct, it's sort of a book written in poetry. Is that correct?
Right.
And what I believe that. I think what would be beneficial, and I believe that you are trying to reach some of those young men who went down the road or going down the road that you went down, that this would in some way, and inspirational, I hate using that word, but I think that this would sort of give them tutelage in some sort of way. Is that kind of what inspired you to do this?
Yeah. I'm not really trying to, really... I'm really just putting it out there as an example. It's really, you could, kind of make your own synopsis of what you really think of it and what you're trying to do with yourself. But, I'm just really trying to just, just let it be known how I'm just putting my story out there. It's really, you're right, I'm kind of, trying to, give a positive message at the same time.
I know you got to go.
Yeah.
Boss man, G-Dep, man. Please call anytime you need. I'm going to follow up on your story as often as possible. I think that the prosecutor, in some case, I know what their mission is, but in your particular case, I think that because of what it is that you did, I think it should have some sort of consideration, and I hope that it does. And God be with you. And my respect to you, man, and just for calling, man. And it took a lot of guts and a lot of gumption to do that, please. And I send you my best. Tell Daniel I say hey.
And we'll
talk soon. You got my cell phone number, please. Call anytime you need.
I will. I'll probably call tomorrow just to see how you're doing, man. And I respect you too. I appreciate everything too. Again, man.
Thank you, man. G Depp on the phone, man. Have a good night, man. I appreciate it.
So there you have it. That's G Depp calling in from Rikers Island last Thursday. It was during Therapy Thursday. I was actually about to get into Therapy Thursday, and G Depp called, so I really appreciate him doing that. And again, he didn't have to. He's got a pending case. There are a couple of things that he can't talk about. And if you listen to the interview, you see that he and I are both, we're dodging a lot. And it's unfortunate that you can't, because there are a lot of things that he wants to say that he can't really say about what's going on. I mean, he's already confessed. He said, he committed the crime. His lawyer's trying to get him manslaughter, and they want murder charges. They want 15 to life. And in a world that has a bunch of people who cannot be accountable, we have the least amount of accountability today, you know, as we talked about in my case and we talked about in plenty of other cases, where people cannot own up when they do something wrong, just take responsibility. This is where we have, you know, this shift in our society. It's a cultural change. No one wants to be responsible. And for him to do that in a culture that refuses to be, I find commendable. And that's the reason why I wanted to talk to G-Dep and talk about that and talk about his book, which, again, as I said, people at XXL, the people over at SOHH.com and others, Ricky Smiley, Touch FM in Boston, those folks picked up on the story and ran with it. And I appreciate the mention. There's Reese on radio. We could have been 3 days, 3 days into our show, and we were already being, you know, picked up nationally by XXL. So that was great thing for us to happen, especially on our first week. And we're going to try to keep doing big things like that. I'm trying another gentleman who's in the game, who's now currently serving 8 years in jail, True Life, is another good compadre of mine. And I was with him when he took his deal for 8 years for the stabbing death of that young man some years ago. You know, so I'm going to actually, when I am in New York tomorrow, I'm going to reach out to his people and see if True Life can get on the phone and we can have a conversation about what is going on, because I thought what happened to him was kind of a railroad as well. And those of you who know the True Life story, you can look that up online anywhere, because it's there. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. We've got some very, very exciting news. I would personally like to there are some things that are changing on Reese on the Radio, but for the good and for the better. And I thought about this long and hard, and I thought about how I could make some changes that would be great, because I do a lot of talking. I give a lot of opinion. It is very one-sided. I think I know it all. I act like I know it all. I do know it all. But, you know, I need to be contested. And the changes to Reese on the Radio are for the good. It's still going to be called Reese on the Radio, but you know what? No man is an island. Well, some people are, but no man is an island. And I'm going to need some help around here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a very, very big change to Reese on the Radio. And I think you all need to be there to celebrate it, because I didn't think this was going to happen. And sometimes I think God has a strange way of dropping people into your lap. And you know, I think I learned that from Tebow. And we'll talk about that Tebow game last night, too. All right, when we come back, it's Reese on Radio.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative, rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun. Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
And we're back at Reese on the Radio. Welcome to the show. And if you were, of course, here in the last break, you know we were playing back the old interview that we did on Thursday with G Dep, rapper G Dep, former Bad Boy artist. We played his interview. And he talked about his, him writing a book of poetry that was a breakdown of his life and all the things that happened in his life. And I hope you got an opportunity to listen to that. For those of you who never got a chance to hear it, and those of you who liked it and wanted to hear it again, there it is. And you can log on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com to listen to it as many times as you like, or you can log on right here at blogtalkradio.com/ReeseOnTheRadio and listen again. You can always pick up archives, of course, right by going to www.reeseontheradio.com. Send us an email if a question you'd like me to send out to GDEP, because I'll be sending him out some messages as well. And you can email me at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com just to say hello, send your hate mail, send your like mail. But to be honest with you, please send the hate mail. I like that better. For some odd reason, I like being told that you hate me. Well, you don't like me, or you think that I'm a jerk, or you don't think very well, you're stupid. I love stupid. When I was a kid, by the way, I was told, I'll never forget this, I couldn't watch Sanford and Son because they used the word stupid and dummy on that show. I swear to God, when I was a kid, I could watch The Muppet Show and Good Times, but no Sanford and Son because of the words stupid and dummy. And to be honest, I don't even use those words now because of that. Talk about rearing.
Anyway, listen, as I said before, there are going to be some changes coming to Reese on the Radio. And it's only right. I'm the type of person who believes that my opinion is the most important. And you know what? It's not so much that what I say goes. That's not what it is. It's not what I say goes. It's what I think is what it is that I think. If you don't like it, so what? But that doesn't mean that I'm not going to argue and debate with you. Because I will. I love a good debate. I live for it. And I consider myself a very practical person. And I live for the debate, not an argument. See, anybody loves an argument. You just argue and you're shouting back and forth. I live for the debate. And since we started the show last week, we got a phone call from someone from my past that I've known for a long time. And you know what? They've been able to hold their own. They've been able to do one thing that is very, very hard to do in my world, in my realm. And that is hold their own enough to the point where I respect you. When I respect your opinion. Even if you're completely out of whack, I respect that you at least take what it is that I have to say into consideration. Even if you think that I'm bonkers, you challenge me, you say that I'm bonkers. Unafraid. And that caller was Mary. An old friend I've known a little over 19 years. I can probably say probably more than that. I've known since I was 19. I'm 42 now. So it's definitely been over 20 years. And she just recently got back in touch with me and she started calling up on the air. She called me her radio. She called me, or she said to me that she was my radio stalker. But I got to give it to her. She's held her own in these conversations no matter what it was about. And she wanted to engage. She had an opinion. In fact, what was odd enough, I sought it out. I sought out her opinion, which is rare for me because usually I don't care. So I think it's only right that we introduce the new member to the team, along with myself, Jesse, the producer. Folks, give a warm welcome, before I put her on the air, to Mary. Mary, why you bugging?
Mary, Mary, why you bugging? Mary, Mary, I need you hugging. Help my girl to come home, honey.
So I had to put it on there. That's her new intro. Mary, Mary, why you bugging, Mary?
Yes, I am here.
Welcome to the show, my dear.
Thank you so much to you and all the listeners, to JC. Thank you to Reese on the Radio. Mary, Mary is in the house.
and me personally, I wanted to jump in here real quick and welcome Mary. We've got a chance to get to know each other a little bit over the weekend.
Okay.
We had a brief conversation. We had a brief conversation, and she was very helpful with it, I should say. We'll get about it another time.
Yeah, because there are a lot of things that I know that Mary appears to be a news junkie like myself and you are, JC. We're kind of news junkies. We like that kind of stuff. I mean, Mary, is that a fair assessment of who you are?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so.
Maybe a little bit different news than you like, but we'll make it work.
No, and that's fine because I want you to come from a broad's perspective. You see, and you got no problem with being, you know, with being a girl, and that's cool. I think I don't want it to be, you know, I don't want it to be a testosterone filled conversation. I'm gonna need
a
girl.
Wait one second. I don't call you boys. You are men. I'm a woman.
Okay, my apologies. All right. Let me get back to my original point. What I'm saying is that I think that the show can be well-rounded when we have a broad perspective. Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say, pardon the pun.
Okay. Yeah, so I think I need a broad to give me her perspective. I'm not saying you're a woman. It ain't happening. I know you are a woman. That is your gender. But you're abroad, you know. Like, you know, I'm not gonna call you a chick because you're too old for that.
But you know, I call you a classy broad, right?
All right, that's fine. I'll let you go with that.
But that's
about as far as it goes.
Listen, I ain't gonna call you out your name. I'm just saying a broad's perspective is what most guys need. You know what I'm saying? You jazz up the place a little bit. You know, because sometimes I'm going to give an opinion and I'm going to talk about things that have to do with women. And in fact, just because you're here, because I don't want to make this whole thing about your introduction, because we're happy to have you on board and you're going to be with us 5 days a week from 7 to 10 right here on Resona Radio. By the way, if you'd like to call in and congratulate Mary, please do. The number's 347-308-8701. Show her some love, even if you got none from me. Or you can send us an email at resonaradio@yahoo.com. But send your love. Show Mary, you know, that you're happy for her and, you know, you're pleased with what it is she's going to bring to the table. And, Mary, here's your first opportunity to really get involved as a cast member. There's a story coming out. Now, I don't know whether or not you're old enough to remember this, but do you remember an actress by the name of Christy McNichol?
Briefly.
Okay. Well, Christy McNichol was this boy or tomboy-looking girl who was on a TV show called Family back in the 70s. She was an Emmy winner, okay? And her nickname on the show, just because I'm setting it up for beautifully here, her nickname on the show was Buddy.
Buddy.
This was a girl. Her name was Buddy. And Buddy on that show, you know, I remember one of the episodes that will always stick with me when Buddy came to her mom, an elderly-looking woman, and told her mom that she got her period and how she was afraid to deal with the whole period issue. And this is like, you know, the late 70s. And you didn't talk about getting your period on the air. So it was like kind of one of those things. You know, Eight is Enough and Family was kind of the same vein. It was those family dramas. It wasn't like your comedies like, you know, The Partridge Family or The Brady Bunch. These were family dramas. The show was called Family. But anyway, Christy McNichol was also on the TV show in the 90s called Empty Nest. And on the show Empty Nest, she played a very, very peculiar woman who seemed to be dating, but now she's come out and she says that she's a lesbian. It seems that everybody's now a lesbian. I mean, like, we didn't figure it out before. She's a tomboy in the show Family. She's an awkward-looking woman, but cute, an awkward-looking or awkward-dressing woman in Empty Nest. And now she comes out, about to be 50, and says she's a lesbian. Here's where my issue lies, Mary. She says she came out of the closet. And let me get the quote here, because I think that it's important to get the quote. She says that she came out as a lesbian because she says she hopes to help kids who need support. She would like to help others who feel different. How are you going to come out 25, 30 years later telling everybody you're a lesbian, and now you're trying to tell everybody else to come out of the closet? You took forever. Now, all of a sudden, you want to help the rest of the world who can't come out and be a lesbian? What's your excuse? And I lost everybody.
I'm Reese.
Oh, you're here. Okay, thank you, honey.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I lost you for a second.
So here's my question. Does that sound odd to you?
That she wants to... I kind of missed the last part of what you said.
She waited 30 years. All of this time. She's been in TV since 1977. And she waits now to come out and tell everybody that she's a lesbian. But she says she wants to come out because she wants to help people who have felt awkward. Well, what the hell were you doing for 33 years? Feeling awkward? How am I supposed to relate to you, Johnny?
She was on the down low.
But that's... JC, come on. Who are you? What is with these out of work, I don't even know who you are actresses coming out talking to our youth? If Christy McNichol was to walk up to any one of the kids today who is struggling with their sexuality, and she goes, "Hi, I'm Christy McNichol. You may know me from shows like Family and Empty Nest." And they look at you like, "What?" If you don't work on The Family Guy, on American Dad, I don't know who you are.
Basically, kids today have no idea what was going on yesterday, but... I mean, if she wants to come out and help people and do her thing and voice what her struggles were to other people that grew up. Maybe she can help people that grew up in her time. I don't know about helping the youth today. I don't know how much the youth needs help, because we live in a world today that anything goes. I mean, we talked about the other night about polyamory, I believe is what you call
it. Yes, exactly.
So, I mean, what isn't going on in the world, you know?
But Mary, do you think that, I mean, I think you already answered the question, but why doesn't she get that nobody cares about a 50-year-old carpet cleaner? Nobody cares.
Oh, my God. All right, Reese. All right.
What? Why did I say it was so wrong? What?
Because that's a derogatory statement. People take that as a derogatory statement.
That's not derogatory. There are people who work for Stanley Steamer who are very proud of their jobs.
That's crazy.
Unintentional plug.
OMG, what are we going to do with you? Seriously.
Stacey.
Seriously.
Listen,
okay?
It's clear. It's clear that this is Chrissy McNichols.
Clear that what?
Oh, we lost. He's cutting out. But my point is that nobody cares that Christy McNichol wants to come out and help the youth. That's insanity.
They probably don't. Nobody gives a damn. They don't care. I don't even know who she is. I'll Google her later and find out who she is. So maybe we can touch on this.
We can touch on this
at another time or something. I don't know.
Well, the cast, listen, nobody needs Christy McNichol to tell them what it's like to be gay, because there are shows like Glee, there are shows, well, that used to be out, Ugly Betty, that deal with homosexuality on a broad basis. I think there's another movie out right now called Pariah. You know, Gay and Lesbian Association Against Defamation, whatever they're called, they're doing a fine job making sure that young kids are not out there hurting themselves or harming themselves or dealing with the fact that they're gay. Okay? And Christy McNichol, I mean, look, I don't know what made her think that she can help, but I'm sick and tired of out of work. I haven't seen you in years, actresses, coming out talking about how you want to make a difference. You can't make a difference. You just want press time. Call it what it is, Christy McNichol. You're about to reach your milestone. You're about to be 50.
You're 50 years old. You're coming to a half of a century.
Half a century, you know, and you got to see her picture. She's finally decided to stop, you know, with the feathered hair. She cut it short like Katie Lang. She finally got with the program, you know.
Maybe she wants to join the bandwagon. I mean, you know, but reaching out to kids, probably not a necessity at this point in the world we live in today, like I said, but maybe reaching out to people that grew up in her times and that have been in that have not come out yet.
Well,
maybe she can help those people. I don't know how many of those people.
I don't know how
left.
She's going to help kids who are bullied. I mean, how does she expect to help kids who are bullied? Christy McNichol weighs literally soaking wet about $112, and she can't help. I mean, come on, she is 2 feet taller than a little person. There's no way. What does she think she's doing? It's laughable. It's completely laughable. But I'm sick and tired of hearing it. Just like Meredith Baxter Burney, who, again, one of my favorite TV shows. Remember Family Ties?
Of course.
Okay. Alex P.
Which one was Meredith? Was she on that show?
Yeah, Meredith Baxter Burney was the mother on Family Ties. She was a lead.
Oh. She's a lesbian?
She's a lesbian. She came out back in 1999.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, she came out and said that she was a lesbian. Was it 99? No, my apologies. She came out in 2009. That's just recently. She came out in 2009. Meredith Baxter, who played the older... In fact, talk about irony. Not only did Meredith Baxter play Elise on Family Ties, the mom, but she also played Christy McNichol's older sister, Nancy, on the TV show Family.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy? The irony is... The irony is crazy that the two of them were on the same show, played her older sister. They're both coming out as lesbians. Scandal.
I'd be interested to see if the two of them have ever.
Hey, come on, man. Hey, listen. If Greg from the Brady Bunch can say he went out on that date with Florence Henderson. You know, you'd be surprised. Hollywood.
He went out on a date with who?
With the mom, Carol Brady.
Yeah, they dated for a while.
They dated for a while. And then there's another story. I think Maureen McCormick, who played Marsha, says that she had a lesbian affair with Jan.
Yeah, with Jan.
Yeah.
Oh, they used to freak on those
sets. I bet you that was an interesting set.
Oh, wow, yes.
What did Jan say when she was kissed by Maureen McCormick? Marsha. That's exactly what she said. Them dirty little kids. They're so filthy. Anyway,
I just no issues with her braces.
Oh, Mary, I have to welcome you to the
carpet
show.
Carpet fibers and the braces.
Oh, that's just awful.
Stop it.
Awful. I love the carpet cleaner analogy.
Stop it.
Forensics.
Right. Yeah, see, you guys.
All right. Okay. Listen, we're going to come back. For a brief moment, we'll take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about this new law. Apparently, in Chicago, they passed a new law. They're trying to get it repealed that if you buy Drano, you have to show a government-issued ID. We'll talk about the new law, and we'll talk about why they're doing it. When we come back, the number is 347-308-8701. Call up. Say congratulations to Mary. She loved to the show if you can. Again, 347-308-8701. Or log on to reeseontheradio.com and send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. And we'll be back very, very soon. This is just too funny.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California Hot Tub Rectal Gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at your husband's work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean, bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called to talk to you. It's about Bob, and I know that he's been an employee here for a very long time, but I'm afraid we're going to have to let Bob go.
What do you mean? Wait, that's not very fair. He's been very loyal to you.
Look, I can understand you feeling that way.
You don't understand. We just had a baby.
No, I understand that.
This is a very hard time to do this kind of a thing.
Yes, it is, but Bob has kind of forced our hand on this.
Why are you firing him?
We caught him doing his secretary on his office desk.
Oh, that son of a bitch.
Look, I know you're upset.
Upset is not the word. That stupid, rotten son of a bitch. I can't believe this.
He's on his way home right now, and he's going to need your support.
Support my head. I'm going to change the locks on the door. I'm throwing his outside on the front lawn. He can just have it all. I'm not even going to be here when he gets back. And now, I don't feel so bad about his brother.
Lois. It's a joke. Your husband put us up. It's your birth.
Happy birthday!
This is Stephen Hawking, and when I'm not solving the mysteries of the world, I listen to Reese on the radio on dogtalkradio.com.
What's up, guys? We are back. It's Reese on the radio. And if you missed at the beginning of the show today, we played a recap of our interview with G. Depp, who called in from Rikers Island. And G. Depp called up and talked about him working on his new book, his decision to come clean about a murder that took place about 18 years ago. And we wanted to also thank the people who gave us some traction on that story, the people over at XXL Magazine who printed an article and gave us a mention on XXL Magazine. You can look it up online. The people over at SOHH.com, Touch 106 in Boston, and as well as the Ricky Smiley Show, who all talked about our interview with G. Depp and him facing 15 years to life for a murder that took place in a robbery 18 years ago. Today we're going to get into a lot of racism. There's a lot of racism happening in the news. In fact, I've got back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back racist stories. I've got them. I've got them all lined up. It's all racism all the time on Reese on the Radio today. All of it. And I'm loving it. I love racism more than anybody in the world. There's no one on this planet who loves racism more than me. Nobody. If you find them, you have them, call me. 347-308-8701. Nobody loves racism more than Reese. I promise you. In fact, Reese is into race. I think it's Reese or racism. That's what I'm going to call it. So now I'm kidding. Anyway, just wanted to let everybody know. Again, welcome Mary to the show. Mary, Mary, why you bugging is back on the show. Also, JC is on the line. And guess what? Our good friend, the Kool-Aid Man, the Kool-Aid Man has called on the phone. Come on, man. Do your infamous line. Kool-Aid Man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's right. Kool-Aid Man. Oh, yeah. Drinking the Kool-Aid of the Democratic Party, as always, our friend James Montgomery is live on the air, as usual. And, you know, look, Jamie, come on, you can vouch for me. Racism all the time on Reese on the Radio, right? You know I love racism.
I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
Anyway, okay.
The only people who love racism more than us is, you know, white people.
Yeah. I don't think
they
love.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think they love it as much as I do. But anyway, let me get to a story we talked about just before we get in. We're going to go in a couple of minutes before the top of the hour, and then we'll get into racism all the time. Apparently in Chicago, there's a new law that has been passed requiring the presentation and recording of a government ID if you wish to buy, for example, a can of Drano to solve a clogged drain in your home. And according to Representative Jack Franks, they think that they believe that this is a good law. Here's what they said. They said that they passed the law because it turns out that there have been a rash of crimes where people have been tossing Drano and other sink cleansers or whatever it is on people in the city of Chicago and around Illinois.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
What is going on?
Now, well, they're saying that this rash of this violence has now caused them to pass a law. Now, my question is this. Now, my answer is probably going to be very typical of that of a Republican and a conservative. But I'm going to ask you, unbiasedly, don't you think that this is a little bit of a nanny state issue where, you know, we're so concerned about these crimes that now we've got to monitor everything that you buy that may be used as a weapon? I mean, because there are other things that you could use. Should we now start getting ID for rubbing alcohol? That could be used as an accelerant. It could be used as a weapon.
What happened to the days when people just went on the train station and stuck a needle in you?
Well, that's
used as a weapon. What do you do? What is your brain process for Drano? And frankly, what is Drano doing that's so bad? I mean, what are you tossing it in people's mouths? Or
From what I gathered, that this Drano substance, according to the story, there were plenty of people that had Drano thrown on their skin. And, you know, this is a, I mean, this is a very powerful ingredient that, you know, that eats away. It's caustic. Exactly. It's caustic. And it eats away at things. So people have been using this as a weapon on their enemies. And, you know, there are plenty of things. You know, you have people who toss battery acid on people. They used to do – that was a big thing back in the 80s. I'll never forget the first time I ever heard that. But now it's becoming this thing where they have to pass a law. So I ask, do you think that this is – you think this is overreaching of the state government or what?
When did this become an epidemic to the point where you – I mean, that's like, you know, you buy – sinus medicine, you have to, certain sinus medicine, you have to give your ID for. I mean, what is going on?
Well, see,
I don't know.
Go ahead, Jay.
I don't know if it's an epidemic. I think people have been throwing that word around a lot. I mean, it's the first time I've heard of it. So if it was an epidemic, you'd think it'd be a little more out there, you know?
Oh, you're saying it would be more of a prominent story. But see, this is local government in Illinois, and Illinois is passing this law. I only think the reason why I say it's relevant is because, you know, if a law like the state has the right to pass its own laws, and I'll always believe that. But I always believe that sometimes other states have a tendency to follow suit, especially neighboring states.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that becomes very common. If Illinois passes it, does that mean Indiana is next? Does that mean Ohio is next? Does that mean, you know, Wisconsin is next? You know, what's going to happen?
I mean, sure, because it's going to be sort of a monkey see, monkey do.
Certainly.
Sort of a domino effect. That's bound to happen. Oh, look. And then it's, well, if they can do it, well, I care more about my constituents than you do, so they're going to up the ante. Then it's going to be where the states are going to have pissing contests, and it turns out like the RICO law.
Right. Well, we talked about that last week about the woman in Oklahoma City who shot that man who entered her home. You didn't join us, Jamie, the day afterwards, James. The next day, it turns out that the accomplice who got away, who was unhurt, the prosecutor ended up charging the accessory or the partner charged him with first degree murder.
Yeah, I heard that. He was definitely responsible for the death of his accomplice.
Yeah, but in essence, wait a minute. And again, I bring that argument up again, and Mary and I talked about it as well. I think Mary was sort of in the same boat with me when I said it's almost suggesting that the perpetrator is somehow a victim. And
exactly.
And I don't see how you can do that. You can't split hairs. You can't say on one level he's a perpetrator and a criminal who loses his life committing a criminal act and then suggest in some sort of way that he is a victim of a violent crime and then charge somebody with his murder, for that matter. He died by his own hands. In essence, that's what he did. He walked into another person's dwelling who had the right to bear arms, walked in there, got blasted. That's it. Que sera, sera, case over, done and dead. No pun intended. But how do you charge the accomplice with a first-degree murder?
It's, again, with me, it's because everyone has to have a victim. There has to be a victim. And you can't use the actual victim as a victim because she's a hero now. So she's
longer
in that niche.
I agree. I totally agree. You're not going to ever be able to do that. But, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me. And you're right. I think this is an overreaching of the state. Whether or not they repeal it remains to be seen. There are probably going to be some people who decide, you know, forget about it. We'll just give our ID, but we'll see. All right, we're going to the top of the hour. When we come back, Georgia school math assignment talks about Frederick Douglass and how many beatings he got a week. I swear
to
you.
Oh, my God.
You have to tune in to this one. You are going to laugh. You're going to cry. You're going to call your congressman. It's Reese on the
Radio. Oh, my God.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times. Then grab it! Grab it!
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said nada da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese.
Welcome back, folks, to Reese on the Radio. And we are live. It's just after 8 o'clock in the evening. It's January 9th, 2012. Welcome to your week. Now, I told you last hour it was racism all the time on Reese on the Radio. I got to find a way to market that. Racism all the time on Reese on the Radio. Because I love racism. I love it. Unlike most people, I live on it. I'm telling you. It's like the vampire has blood, I have racism. I suck on it all night. Whatever. That just sounded awful. Oh, joining us, of course, on the show, we got Mary. Mary, why are you bugging? She is on the air. She'll be with us every night now. We've got, of course, our good friend, the Kool-Aid Man. The Kool-Aid Man, Mr. James Montgomery. Somebody is feedbacking badly. It's not me.
It's not me either.
So anyway, somebody's got a feedback problem. But anyway, not a problem. Producer JC is behind the scenes. He's checking out more and more news and everything. But again, like we said before, we'd like to welcome Mary. Mary, why are you bugging to the show? She's going to be helping us out. I cannot hear my own voice. So let's give her a round.
I can hear you, but I'm hearing you about 3 or 4 times.
Let me find out where it is. And it's definitely not you, Mayor. But there's
Thank
your applause.
You.
There's your applause. Welcoming you to the show. And don't forget, Mary will be introduced every day with her theme song.
I
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
So that'll be her theme music. Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
One of the best records that DMC ever put out.
So anyway, so like I said, racism all the time right here on Reese on the Radio. So let me give you a breakdown of exactly what happened. We'll figure out what's going on with James Montgomery's line. We'll figure that out in a second, and we'll get him back in. So Mary, get ready for this one.
Oh, I'm ready. I've been ready since you
showed
it earlier.
Okay, all right. So in Norcross, Georgia, the story goes like this. Figuring out how many oranges were picked by slaves and how many beatings per day Frederick Douglass received was allowed to help teach elementary students their multiplication and division tables at one school. Administrators at Gwinnett County School District are sorting through the fallout from parents of children who brought home math homework last week that referenced slavery and beatings. On Wednesday, 9 third-grade math teachers at Beaver Ridge Elementary School were attempting to do a cross-curricular activity with a book the children had read about abolitionist Frederick Douglass in their social studies class. District spokeswoman Sloan Roach told CBS Atlanta that the math problems in the assignment involved some of what the students learned about Frederick Douglass. 4 of the 9 classes wound up sending the assignment home with the students. But when some parents were going over the students' homework, they became appalled at the nature and language of 2 questions in particular. Get ready for these questions.
Can it get any worse than it already is?
Yeah, no kidding. It does.
It does. The first question asks, each tree has 56 oranges. If 8 slaves picked them equally, how much would each slave pick? Marinate on that.
Stop
Hold
it.
Hold on. It gets better.
That's what you use oranges for, marinate.
The second question was this. If Frederick Douglass got 2 beatings a day, how many beatings did he get in 1 week? I'm dead serious.
I want to know who is responsible for writing the curriculum. What was going on in the boardroom when they were writing this curriculum? Who was in there?
I will tell you. I'm telling you, I know who is responsible for this. I know who is responsible for this. There's only one. Kind.
Is it the same people that were responsible for the Fat Kid campaign?
Say again?
Is it the same people that were responsible for the Fat Kid campaign?
No, I wish it was them, but I know who was responsible for this campaign. Listen to me. There are people out there who definitely know that they need to teach our children this kind of curriculum. And there's only one group out there who would do this, okay?
It's the Democratic Party that's the racist.
Oh, my God. I knew you were going to say it. I knew it.
The party
of Jim
Crow. The party of Bull Connor. The party of...
Hold on. Let me play it again so they can hear it.
It's the Democratic Party that's the racist. The party of the Ku Klux Klan. The party of Jim Crow. The party of Bull Connor. The party of segregation. The party of the KKK. They're the racists.
That's right. They're the racists, damn it.
Come
on.
You're saying the Democratic Party. Is Barack Obama a racist now, too?
Listen to me. The bottom line, Mary, is this. This is an Atlanta school system and a public school system, and the public school system is run by the unions, and the unions do nothing but support Democrats. And this is what the unions who are fighting charter schools, the unions that are fighting for African Americans, that are fighting against African Americans having a better education system, and they're the ones sitting up here in this curriculum showing third grade students, asking them the questions about slaves picking oranges and how many beatings did Frederick Douglass get if he was beaten twice a week. Come on there, Negro. You know that's what they tell him.
Did anybody turn the homework in and get the questions right?
See, you would go right into that mode. Like, did any kid get the question right? Well, I understand that it was racist, but did anybody get a grade? I would still say he did.
I can't imagine that they would. If this is the curriculum, I mean, what are you teaching these kids? If this is the curriculum that you're using, what can these third graders already know?
Well, I'm still trying to figure out, like, you couldn't figure out, like, a story. SpongeBob wouldn't have applied here. The beatings, like, not the beatings of SpongeBob, but SpongeBob picking oranges. Like, there wasn't anybody. What's that other TV show that the kids like with the black guy who wears the big jar orange outfit with the afro? I don't know what the name is.
I don't have no kids. Don't ask me.
I know. But see, that's the whole point.
Yo Gabba Gabba.
That's it. Thank you, JC. Yo Gabba Gabba. That's
what. And excuse me if I can jump in for a second. I think SpongeBob doesn't need an ass whooping. I'm out.
but come on. Anyway, let me read the rest of the story. Anyway, so upon learning of the assignment, the school's principal collected the assignment sheets that were still at school. We've been working, I love this line, this is their quote, we've been working with human resources to determine what staff development is needed for the teachers and what actions may be warranted, Rhodes said. The principal is addressing parent concerns as he's meeting with them. What is your parent's concern? Hey, I want to know why you're teaching my kid. You can teach my kid about slavery. But you know what? You remember how they used to say back in the day that these tests for each one of these inner city kids were biased. They said that they don't talk. The kids don't learn things that pertaining to their community. So they say that the kids can't identify with the questions. I guess that they were trying to meet those demands by saying,
You know there, Timmy. You know, Frederick.
We are talking about Georgia here.
Yeah, exactly. I think the whole deal was they were going, Frederick Douglass received 2 beatings a day. Anita, how many beatings would that be in 7 days? And Anita raises her hand and she goes, 14 ass whippings, Mr. Smith?
And ask behind that, did Frederick never get a day off?
Well, exactly. I'm just saying, Frederick Douglass, the fact that you would associate, like, people don't, the kids don't know who Frederick Douglass is. Like, Frederick Douglass was a freed slave, but I mean, there are plenty of accomplishments. Frederick Douglass was a friend, an advisor to Abraham Lincoln. Why would you not be teaching that to third grade kids? You know, Frederick Douglass was a very, very important man as an abolitionist trying to get rid of slavery. His best friend was Abraham Lincoln, who wrote the Emancipation Proclamation. That should all be a part of history. But talking about slaves picking oranges, for crying out loud, the question is, do you think that same question is being asked to Mexicans in their schools?
How many avocados?
Yeah, exactly. How many avocados? Yeah. And when it, you know, Manuel has a truck that takes 45 kilos of cocaine to the country. How many kilos does he deliver in a week? I mean, come on. I mean, what's next? It's absolutely ridiculous.
And did they say that they were, is what you said, was that they said that they were talking to human resources now to see where they can go with this
to find out where the ball was dropped. That's the part that's baffling me. They're trying to figure out where the ball was dropped. Who could have possibly caused this to happen? I'm saying to myself, look, they say it was a cross curriculum. It's like, hey, how can we make slavery into a math problem? Like, who's the knucklehead behind that? Who would possibly think that was feasible, that the kids would learn about slavery, and then we would probably get them to do multiplication and division by using slavery stories? There's only one person.
It's the Democratic Party that's the racist. The party of the Ku Klux Klan. The party of Jim Crow. The party of Bull Connor. The party of segregation. The party of the KKK. They're the racist.
Come on, James Montgomery. Here. Come on. Tell me what you think. Is James still on the line? Hold on.
Yeah, I got him.
You got him? Let's get James on the line. James, you there?
I got a question.
Go ahead.
Right. If a train leaves Chicago at 9:05 and another train leaves New York at 10:05, how many beatings can Frederick Douglass get before they meet up?
Is this crazy? James, it doesn't get...
I can't believe somebody went through this. And for you to say it's the Democratic Party, please. You know, there's some Republican somewhere who was sitting in the top office said, okay, I could slip this in. Nobody knows. I mean, it is Georgia, after all.
It smells of Democrats.
Thank you. JC,
oh, my God, JC, stop it.
Voice of reason, JC. JC, the voice of reason. You know, this smells Democrat Party.
No, they're all over it.
What does Barack Obama think of it?
I cannot believe this, man.
Can we get him on the line and ask him?
Georgia, of all places. Atlanta, Georgia, of all places. One of the brightest nations on the planet. And who? I can't even finish the sentence.
Yeah, but the point, again, like I said before, the point remains, James, the point remains is that they were trying to incorporate slavery into math curriculum. Now,
was about math in the first place.
No, because that's what I'm saying. They were taking a social studies lesson about Frederick Douglass being an abolitionist, and then someone turned around and said, how can we make this cohesive with math? Like, who does that?
Does this have to do with the education cuts? Are they trying to put two curriculums into one?
Yes, well, exactly. It was a blended curriculum because they were saying if the kids were having so much fun with learning about Frederick Douglass, perhaps we could use his beatings as a math problem.
Oh, that's really fun learning. That's the funnest learning I've ever heard.
I mean,
I would love to sit. I would love to have been a fly on the wall when they were coming up with this.
Again, nobody, you can say whatever you want, but it bleeds.
It's the Democratic Party that's the racist.
It was
the party of the Ku Klux Klan.
Get off
the
your high horse, Reese. It's not the Democratic
Party. Paul
Cotter,
the party of segregation. The party of the KKK.
They're the damn racist. I'm going to play that often. They're the racist.
I like that.
Oh, Lord. Here he goes.
All right. Oh, there's this guy. He's a reverend who is a supporter of Herman Cain. I'll get his name. It's actually a pretty good play.
That's all you had to say. Somebody that was a supporter of Herman Cain.
Let me
tell you something.
Just another instance of Republican revisionism.
Let me say something.
Let me say something. The support of Herman Cain was there, a white woman underneath the podium as he was talking.
Oh, Mary, that's such a cheap shot. Mary, I'm absolutely appalled at you. Anyway, we're going to take a break. Let me just say something. Let me tell you how big my ego is. My ego is so big. I'm willing to take on three Democrats on the show. I'm the only conservative. You, Kool-Aid Man, James Montgomery, Mary, why you bugging? JC, all of you, liberals through and through, and I still stand up here and I take the heat from you. So I'm just going to let y'all know. Okay, I'm sorry. JC is a little more conservative than most.
Okay.
All right, he's a little more conservative than most. But the bottom line is that I take the hits from each and every one of you, you know, so I'm just letting you know. Anyway, so, all right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. Don't worry. Like I said, we got plenty of racism on tap. Papa John's Pizza's in the news, folks. Mary, I know you're going to love this one. Papa John's Pizza, which is happening, you know, the $2 billion, you know, company. They're number three in the big pizza chains. But
yeah.
Papa John's had to apologize for being racist. When we come back, wow, we'll find out how the Chinese community is responding.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
there's balls for you.
Oh, it gets funnier, I'm telling you. Racism on tap all day. It's Reese on the Radio.
What's next on the menu?
That's it.
It's the Democratic Party that's the racist. The party of the Ku Klux Klan. The party of Jim Crow. The party of Bull Connor. The party of segregation. The party of the KKK. They're the racists.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, Reese, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative, rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun. Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
Welcome back to Reese on the Radio. The number is 347-308-8701. You can log on here to blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. And you can listen to archives on ReeseOnTheRadio.com anytime you want. And send me an email if you like at ReeseOnTheRadio@yahoo.com. Taking all takers, no matter where they come from. I mentioned earlier before we took break, that's racism all the time right here on Reese on the Radio. The racism is everywhere. And I'm here to point it out. That's what it is that I do. I point out the racism. Now, according to an article on MSNBC, not my favorite network, apparently Papa John's Pizza has had to apologize for a racial slur. Now, there was a story like this a couple of years back at another establishment, not a popular eatery, but it was another popular, local establishment in New Jersey. And the story made headlines in New York, I think it was the Daily News and the New York Post, and apparently that when a waiter is dealing with you in their establishment, a waiter or waitress, they've got to identify you when they're putting, you know, the stuff in. You know, you have another beer, you have another bowl of fries,
you order something extra, whatever it is. So instead of just asking you your name, because when I go to a bar, like you go to a bar, like maybe like a sports bar or something, girl behind the counter will say, you know, hey, you want me to start a tab for you? And I go, yeah. And she'll say, you know, all right, guy in a Jets jersey, or, you know, guy with the blue sweater, or she'll even go so far, which I think that most people should do, ask my goddamn name. Hi, what's your name? It's Reese. And if I start a tab, if I hand you my credit card or my debit card, name's right on it there, doofus. Just look at it. You put that name up there. Whatever it is that you got to do. But so far, I've seen this happen twice now. And Papa John's Pizza has had to apologize. Let me read the story. Employee typed a racial slur on a customer's order at a New York City location. Oh, it happened in liberal Mecca. Papa John's Pizza is apologizing after an employee typed a racial slur on a receipt to a customer at one of its New York City locations. The customer, Min-Hee Cho, posted a message on Twitter along with an image of the receipt from the Manhattan location, describing her as Lady Chinky Eyes. Several hours later, the message had gone viral. The Louisiana, Kentucky-based company formally apologized on its Facebook and Twitter pages for Cho's experience. The company says the employee was dismissed. Cho didn't immediately respond to a message sent by email or Twitter. That's odd. You just ended somebody's Papa John career on Twitter. You don't respond on Twitter. So there it is, the receipt right here. I'm looking at it. It says name. And this part that makes me laugh. It says name. Name. In the section on receipt that says name, in store order, it's written Lady Chinky Eyes. The person didn't deserve to keep the job because you gave the receipt to Lady Chinky Eyes. Stupid. You've got to be a complete idiot. You write a racial slur on there and you go, hey, here's your racially charged receipt. Lady Chinky Eyes, enjoy your pizza. The number's 347-308-8701. Racism all the time, folks. What do you think? Jamie, are you online?
I'm online. You know, the employee probably thought, seeing that she had the chinky eyes, probably wouldn't see it.
Okay, that's it. We're going to be thrown off the air.
Okay, so there's going to be another apology next week.
Yeah, sounds like somebody on this show is going to have to give an apology. She probably wouldn't see it.
That's a good thing I'm not an employee.
Yeah,
and you never will be.
Immediately. Anyway, the point is, again, I don't understand why anybody would be that stupid. You know, again, and as I was talking earlier, this happened in New Jersey. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that story, but it was a couple of years back. I'm almost certain it was somewhere around 2007, 2008. It was a Jewish couple that went into the eatery, and the person who was the person, I guess it was the waitress or whatever, had made a reference that was, I mean, I guess it was something about their Jewish ethnicity. Now, I don't think that they use the word like, oh, see, I don't, see, I'm going to go and I'm going to start using racial slurs.
Don't do it.
It wasn't something evident. It wasn't about their face or anything like that. They didn't mention that somebody was wearing a yarmulke or anything like that. But I think that they wrote, in fact, nope, now I remember. I knew it would come to me. It was written on their Jewish couple. And
how did they know that they were a Jewish couple? Did they have a dreidel hanging out of their pocket?
Again, I don't know. That's the whole point I'm trying to make. It's like the person who wrote it said that it was, you know, it was a Jewish couple, and that's how they remembered who they were because they looked Jewish. And the Jewish couple was offended. But how can you be offended that somebody
calls you Jewish? I mean,
calls you Jewish.
They can't call you what you are now. Is that the case? Everybody's getting a little too sensitive, in my opinion.
But wait. So
can't speak at all.
Are you saying that Lady Chinky Eyes wasn't a bit much?
Lady Pinky Eyes shouldn't have been fired for being racist. She should have been fired for being stupid.
Exactly.
How do you give her the receipt? And then Pinky Eyes. Really? Really? Is that so racially tension? Is that the racial tension?
How are you figuring out what lady with the chinky eyes? I mean, they were in New York.
Well, yeah, exactly. Which I find incredibly interesting. Listen, let me take a call. Hey, Mary, this is interesting. I've got an interesting phone call on the line with us. Who's this? It's Reese on the radio.
Hey, this is Trish, Mary's sister.
Hey, hello, Trish. We were talking about racism all day here on Reese on the Radio. It says here that you had a question about Frederick Douglass because you're from Alabama, so you're from the deep south.
Well, I am now.
Say again.
I'm from Alabama now.
Oh my God! She just wait, everybody! My sister just denounced her New Yorkness on live.
No! I would never denounce my New Yorkness. Never.
Okay, so do you live in Alabama?
Queens in the house, no.
Okay, so you live in Alabama now?
I do live in Alabama.
Okay, because I'll be honest with you, that sounds like an Alabama accent if I ever heard it.
Well, I've been here for like almost 16 years, so.
Well, yeah, but you damn sure don't sound like you're from Queens.
I promise you I am.
Well, what's your question about Frederick Douglass?
Don't sound like we're from Queens either. Have you been to Queens lately?
I missed all damn conversation.
Trish, what was your question about Frederick Douglass?
About Frederick Douglass. Huh. Did I have a question about him?
Well, that's what it says on your cue. It says that you had a question about Frederick Douglass.
So, well, I have a question for you. I have a nephew. My sister has a son that is in the Alabama public school system. We were talking earlier. I don't know if you heard it. I don't know if you heard the whole story, but we were talking earlier about how Georgia, in Norcross, Georgia, these crazy people came up with a curriculum to teach kids math, to teach kids third graders math, asking them referencing Frederick Douglass rather, with how many beating if he worked 7 days a week and he got two beatings a day. How many beatings was that total? Is this something that they are teaching your child or that they taught your child at any point in time in the Alabama school district?
We are not that backwards.
They're your neighbors, for crying out loud, Trish.
I don't care if they're my neighbors or not. We are not that backwards.
But what I find incredibly odd is that no one seems to agree with me when I said there's a reason, there's a clear-cut reason why the school system in Georgia would be showing or telling these kids or talking to these kids about racism in such a fashion. And there's only one real, clear, obvious reason for that. But no one wants to listen.
It's the Democratic Party that's the racist. The party of the Ku Klux Klan, the party of Jim Crow, the party of Bull Connor, the party of segregation, the party of the KKK. They are the racists.
They are the racists, folks. They are the
racists.
I will agree with you on that one.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. I heard somebody agree with me. Tristan, did you just agree with me?
There is a lot of racism here in the South.
Okay.
What Reese is saying is, if you listen to what he just played, is it's the Democratic Party.
The one thing that I have learned is that they are behind a whole lot of this.
Really?
Have you been in this? You've obviously been in Alabama for way too long. They're corrupting your brain.
You know what the difference is that I have now learned as I get older, and please do not say how old I am.
Okay, we won't.
Well, you're 80. I mean, what does it matter?
Is that you and I have been taught that because our grandmother, our mother, our grandfather, whatever, we're all Democratic, that that's what we have to be. Well, you know what? No, we don't.
I can make an informed decision for myself. I do not need to vote the way my family has voted all of my life. I don't need to do that anymore. I need to vote what's good for me and what's good for my family.
So,
and if somebody running being Democrat is not what's good for me and my family, then that is not the way I need to vote.
I love her.
So do I.
That is just pure honesty at this point. I have been taught all of my life, you vote Democrat, you don't cross your party, you don't cross your party. Well, if they cross me, why not?
Well, hold on. I don't ever remember our mother or anybody in our family was not. They didn't tell me that. You know,
well,
we
were told it all my life. You don't cross your party. Well, you know what? They screwed me. Why not screw them back by voting Republican or independent or any damn way I see fit?
Are you a registered? Are you registered as a Republican or independent or Democrat? How are you registered, Trish?
I was registered as a Democrat, and as of the last election, I changed my status to independent. So that means that I now vote for what's good for me, not the
okay,
party.
So you're saying you've completely decided you're not going to join party lines, and you're deciding that now your vote is going to be based on your personal what your personal preferences are. If a person is being fiscally responsible, if the party is being is really attending to your needs, that's the party you're going to vote for.
That's the way I'm going from here on in.
I can't appreciate it anymore. I'm a little upset the fact that you're not, you know, you sound more conservative than independent, but that's okay. That's quite all right. I appreciate you calling in. I'm going to put you back on hold. And I'm just want to score one for the home team while
it's the Democratic Party that's the racist. The party of the Ku Klux Klan. The party of Jim Crow. The party of Bull Connor. The party of segregation. The party of the KKK. They are the racist.
I just wanted to make sure that I got that clear.
My own sister. My
yes.
own sister. You wait till later, sis.
Anyway, so that was one last one. Now, this is the one, folks, that you are not prepared for. This is the one that is going to make you go, what the hell? And I saved
it.
I saved it for last. I saved it for last. It's racism all the time on Reese on the Radio. Now, check this one out. If you'd like to walk safely when you're going out for your daily stroll, the hope of making its Windows Phone 7 platform more pedestrian-friendly, Microsoft Corporation has issued a patent in the United States last week related to the mapping technology in its smartphone software. Specifically, the invention allows for safety, weather, and terrain conditions to be taken into account when giving walking directions. Because unsafe neighborhoods are among the conditions accounting for. In other words, let's say you're walking down the street and you happen to come into one of those roughneck towns. Your GPS will direct you to turn right. Bad neighborhood. I love it.
Okay, wait a minute. You're talking about I didn't know how it could get any worse than the Counting Oranges and the Beatings, but I read about this. I actually read about this, and myself and some coworkers talked about this at work the other day.
Okay.
So are you saying that they're coming up with something like this for pedestrians or for you to use in your vehicle?
Now, you can use it for both, but here's where, because it's a mapping software, and it's a GPS mapping software, which makes this so brilliant is that how does it tell you that you're going to be, you know, let's say there's bad weather. Right? Or there's rocky terrain, whatever it is, mudslides, whatever it is. It takes data from certain sources to give you that. But here's the one that kicks me right in the rear. This is the one. What if someone using a route from his system does get mugged, shot, assaulted, or robbed? Would they feel entitled to sue Microsoft because the route was supposed to be ghetto-free? Ghetto-free! That's what it says in the article.
Trailer park free.
That's right. In other words, it also says that this particular software, how it will tell you that a neighborhood is bad is that the device will have access
to crime statistics in that neighborhood. So if you are in a town that you are not familiar with, you whip out your phone, you press this GPS feature, it will grab data based on murders, killings, muggings, rapes, whatever it is. And if you go into those areas with high crime statistics, turn left. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Holy crap.
JC, come on. You got to love this.
That is absolutely amazing.
It will tell you, Russ, and I'm pretty sure that if you
and keep disturbing at the same time.
What I love about it is, imagine if you keep going into that neighborhood, recalculating. I said turn left.
they were talking about this. On the radio too. That's how I heard about it as well. And it's yeah. So what happens? I mean, if you they tell you turn left and you turn right, does you know a bulletproof shield pop up into your vehicle out of this?
Unfortunately. No, you're done for. That's just the whole thing. I cannot believe that there's actually, I mean, a ghetto-free app. There's an app. You know, JC, you can forget, listen to me, forget about writing these books that are for, what's the name, these ghetto erotica books. You need to get into that. You need to get into the app business. You need to get into the app business. We need to make us some apps right now. If they can make a ghetto-free app, I want an app for everything.
No, listen, if your phone says, oh, damn, then you better call 911.
I want, you know, exactly. I want an app that avoids me from going into an Indian restaurant. That's what I want an app for, because if I go to another one, I swear to God, I'm killing somebody. I hate
Indian. You don't like samosas?
I don't like anything Indian as far as their food is concerned. They're nice people. Okay, I don't like their movies either. I hate that crap.
I love Indian food.
Now, why don't we never catch you on a Punjabi MC video?
If you really, seriously, you want to put me in hell, my hell is going to be stuck with a midget watching a Bollywood film eating Indian food.
Oh, my God, I love Bollywood. Bollywood is a great dance.
I hate that crap. Everything's a Broadway show and a Bollywood film. Everybody's doing choreographed dancing. It's like synchronized swimming on land. I hate them.
You do a much better Indian impression than you do Hispanic.
And I'm working on my Hispanic accent. I can do a better one. I just don't want to sound like Tony Montana. That's the reason why I don't do that.
You don't have to sound like Tony Montana.
Because his Consuela sound like Olga.
Consuela. Hey, James Montgomery, there's an app that keeps you out of the hood.
People are going to be using it. Oh, look, carjacking. Turn right. All right, so let's go.
Yes, exactly. I don't want any part of any GPS that keeps me that directs me out of certain neighborhoods. Probably because they're the probably shortest distance to get where it is that I need to go, and I hate long drives. I can risk it. I'll risk going through a bad neighborhood.
And they have the best food, the best culture. I mean, ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
Oh, Mary, you're scaring me.
I want a GPS that's going to take me to Mary's
sister's
house with those biscuits.
I mean, I love Popeyes, you know?
You're kidding me, right? What have we signed on to? This woman just said she likes Popeyes. Oh,
you
yeah,
don't
that's
like
right.
Popeyes?
Go, hold on. Sorry.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
It's so appropriate.
God, I feel like beatboxing.
It's always good.
Do it,
be.
JC, do it.
It's always.
I wish I could.
It's always appropriate. Anyway, we'll take a break. When we come back, we got more news, more stuff to talk about. Let me see. I'm getting ready to go into the last hour. We also have to at least preview that 2020 show that came on last week. It was Very, very sad. We'll get into it when we come back. It's Reese on the Radio.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the Radio.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at your husband's work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean, bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called to talk to you. It's about Bob, and I know that he's been an employee here for a very long time, but I'm afraid we're going to have to let Bob go.
What do you mean? Wait, that's not very fair. He's been very loyal to you.
Look, I can understand you feeling that way.
Feeling that way? You don't understand. We just had a baby.
No, I understand that.
This is a very hard time to do this kind of a thing.
Yes, it is, but Bob has kind of forced our hand on this.
Why are you firing him?
We caught him doing his secretary on his office desk.
Oh, that son of a bitch!
Look, I know you're upset.
Upset is not the word. That stupid, rotten son of a bitch. I can't believe this.
He's on his way home right now, and he's going to need your support.
Support my head! I'm going to change the locks on the door. I'm throwing his outside on the front lawn. He can just have it all. I'm not even going to be here when he gets back. And now, I don't feel so bad about his brother.
Lois. It's a joke. Your husband put us up. It's your birthday. Happy birthday!
This is Stephen Hawking, and when I'm not solving the mysteries of the world, I listen to Reese on the Radio on DogTalkRadio.com.
Stephen, that's so kind of you. I don't know why Stephen would be listening to my show. That was nice of him to do a little drop, courtesy of the computer. That's just me. Reese on the Radio, the number 347-308-8701. We thank you all for tuning in, logging on, and checking us out every day as you do. Welcome to your week. We've got plenty of things to talk about today. If you missed it earlier, you can check it out online. G-Dep's interview, the former Bad Boy rapper who was arrested after he confessed to a murder that happened 18 years ago. That's going to be on ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You log on, you check that out. Also, you can check out the new updates, of course, in my case. We go to court on Wednesday, by the way, guys, in case you don't know. Wednesday is another court date. You can log on to Reese on the Radio so you can see that story. You can get your updates there on all of those things. And, of course, log on to blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio and listen to the show from 7 to 10 weekdays right here on Blog Talk Radio. And, again, the number is 347-308-8701. Racism all day. Right here on Reese on the Radio. I don't have another racist story. I do have one story that's actually absolutely baffling me. Look, I'm an old Saybrook only to pass by in Connecticut. Okay, but you know it's a nice enough town. But apparently, there's a rumor that the Obamas may be moving into Connecticut. And I gotta be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, that I ain't coming back to Connecticut if the Obamas move here. It just ain't happening. I'm not a fan. Ugh. Apparently, they wish to buy Katharine Hepburn's estate. But apparently, according to the Hartford Courant, let me just get the story. It says, some rumors won't die, but why anyone would believe for a nanosecond that President Obama had $18 million to buy a house that once belonged to Katharine Hepburn, of all famous people in Connecticut, of all places, in an election year, of all years. Such a purchase would put Obama squarely in the camp of one percenters, not a popular move at the time when 99% are supposed to go to the polls in November and elect the president. Plus, there's no evidence that he has that kind of money. Really? The guy made $5 million the first year he was elected. That's right. In the year that he was elected, he made $5 million that year. Anyway. He also...
He'll be neighbors with Vin Baker.
What's that?
He'll be neighbors with Vinnie Baker.
What the hell is that?
Basketball.
Vinnie Baker?
Yeah.
I apologize. I don't know him. Does he currently play on a team that I care about?
No.
So, okay, that would go with why I don't know him. I'm sorry. Vinny, nothing against you, buddy. Anyway, but there's no go ahead.
I hope he does move to Connecticut. Because you need to bring your tail back to New York. That's why.
I don't need to be in New York. Trust me. I can do without New York. I'm done with that town. But if there's a possibility he moves in there, I mean, I feel sorry for people who live in Connecticut. Hey, you nutmeggers. Well, again, according to the LA Times, it doesn't look possible that he's going to be moving there. But, you know, hey, you know, stranger things have happened. Stranger things have happened. It's going to be crazy. So, listen, when we come back, let me just preface this. I'm going to see whether or not I can get some information about this, but I want to talk about it briefly. We're going to do the show. I think we're going to dedicate a lot of time to it tomorrow. 2020, Chris Cuomo from 2020 did an expose on a family that was rocked by the allegations of rape and sexual abuse, and it was featured on 2020 last week on Friday. I can't get this story out of my head. Primarily because of so many things that the family's lawyer said in the interviews, in talking to police, prosecutors, just people who were involved in the case. The family is back together, fortunately, but what was done to them, I can understand personally how it can rock someone's world. The father in the case was facing 75 years in prison, and when we talk about this, when I come back to talk to you about this, what's most important to remember is that the child in this case was deemed to be, or is, autistic, cannot speak for themselves, and is practically a living vegetable, a living, walking, and breathing vegetable. But yet, due to a very controversial new method to help autistic children, ended up accusing her own father of sexual assault and rape. And I want to talk about that tomorrow because I need to play you the audio because the lawyer, again, as I said, who's representing his family, what they say about the prosecutor and the police department and what it is that they did to this family and how it is that they dealt with this story is astonishing. And I told the guys ahead of time, Mary, I know you looked at it as well on Friday. Did you take away from it? I mean, were you just as shocked and stunned as I was when you watched it?
Most definitely. Indeed, I was. I mean, I think one of the most shocking things that I watched on there was the interview that they did, the interrogation that they did with that man's 13-year-old son.
Yeah, I think that resonated with everyone who watched it, and most particularly that part, because the 13-year-old son was not a perpetrator, wasn't a suspect. They dragged him into a police interrogation room as a victim.
Actually, if you look back, I think at one point in time they did say that through the facilitated communicator –
mm-hmm.
That they did say that there was something said that the son did have some type of involvement.
Well, yeah, but
back,
see,
but I'll have to check that.
Well, no, and I remember that vividly because I think that part that you're talking about through the facilitator, we'll get into that technology or that, you know, that portion of the story when we talk about it tomorrow, was that the facilitator says that the autistic girl typed out that the father brought the son in, the 13-year-old son in, and told him to touch him as well as the sister. And that was, I mean, to me, is everyone says, no matter what, you know, even if the boy had touched the sister, it was brought on by the father at the father's behest. So therefore, the 13-year-old boy is a victim because he's being told by the father to do this act, or he's being threatened to do this act. But in essence, the boy is a quote-unquote victim of sexual assault by the father.
Yeah.
And if this 13-year-old boy is a victim, what is he doing in a police interrogation room? And
exactly.
For hours. And that's, you know, the prosecutor had a forensic interview with the autistic girl, but did not have a forensic interview with the 13-year-old boy. You leave him at the hands of the police department, who, when I play the audio for you, if you haven't seen it, please check it out online. I'd love to get your views on it. Please do check it out, because it is probably one of the most compelling stories ever about a claim that didn't take place. And I commend Chris Cuomo as one of those guys I kind of rag on for only being a little one-sided. But this has been the second story I've seen of his recently. We actually covered false rape claims on 2020, and mainstream media doesn't cover them often enough for obvious reasons. And that is, you know, you don't want anybody to believe that someone's claim is false. You don't want that. You don't want that atmosphere of people not believing someone who says that they've been assaulted. And I understand the reason for doing that. But no one should be in the business of setting a precedent for crime. We don't want people to be skeptical of this particular crime, but never be skeptical of this particular crime. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty. And we should not start condemning people as guilty in any crime, especially in the crime of rape, because of what it is that is at stake. If somebody has to do because somebody has to do 75 years in jail, we better make sure that every T is crossed and every I is dotted. That's what we need to make sure. Another line that the girl makes, Mary, I don't know if you heard this, when their lawyer said she doesn't believe that the prosecutor's office ever met a child that wasn't molested.
You know, yeah, I did. I actually heard that that this particular town and this the DA's office or whatever have held high stakes when it comes to any claims that have come through their office. Like the I forget what the percentage is, but the percentage was unbelievable.
Right.
The thing
was, I do remember that. You're saying there was like, I think it was a 90% rate of charges that were brought against them. They prosecute. And again, it's a prosecute first, ask questions later, or arrest first and ask questions later.
They tore this family apart. For people that haven't seen it or haven't listened to it, you know, they tore these people apart to the point where the mother was on house arrest.
Yeah, that was...
And not allowed to talk to her own kids and had to hang up on her own son when he called her. You know, I mean, it's just crazy.
And for a 13-year-old boy, and that was also an amazing thing, I will tell you that, a 13-year-old boy calls his mother from, a children's shelter or whatever it is. 13-year-old boy sneaks and calls his mother. And because his mother is so afraid, she hangs up on her 13-year-old son. She hangs up on her child. And as she was telling that, and she welled up, I couldn't help but well up. Because I can imagine that is like, it's, you know, you purposely abandoned. You're so scared. They've frightened you so much that you do the most unthinkable thing to your blood, to your child. And I think... I just want to give you, I'm prefacing it now, but you know, we'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll do an extensive audio and we'll play a bunch of it. I'm going to do a whole lot of audio splicing to get that piece out there, because I think people need to see this story and to hear and have it analyzed, because it's very, very important, especially considering what it is that a lot of people have watched me go through. They'll understand. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. Of course, we've always got more news. We've always got more stories. And we've always got more crap. We'll have some fun in the next hour, so stick around. If you're out there, you know, log on. Give us a call, 347-308-8701, or log on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. or blogtalkradio.com/recentradio. We'll be back. Stick around.
Denouncing the hypocrisies of our times. Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times? Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times. Then grab it! Grab it!
Mary had a little lamb, it was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese.
It's Reese on the radio, and we're back just after 9 o'clock. Running down a dream, folks. The number is 347-308-8701. It wouldn't be proper if I didn't talk about the man, the legend, and my hero, Mr. Tim Tebow. That's right, folks. Mr. Tim Tebow, a man who deserves great applause. The man is a legend. A legend in his own right. He deserves to be commended. I appreciate you, Tim. I appreciate everything about you. I've got your back, even if they all hate you. Even if they all can't stand you. Tim Tebow, you are a legend. From the bottom of my heart, I've got your back. Even when they all hate you. Because that's the only way that I can support you, is when everybody else hates you. That's the only way that I can. And they all hated you coming up to this game. You couldn't do it. You can't handle the rock. You can't lead a team to a playoff win. You're weird. You're always praising God and loving Jesus Christ. You weirdo. You take care of Filipino kids. You don't have sex. You love your mother and father and your Lord Jesus Christ. You inspire people. You pat them on the back. You tell them, shape up, feel good about yourself. You give people hope. You tell people that God loves you. You're a goddamn villain. You're the worst person in the world, Tebow. I can't believe it. You love Jesus Christ. You love your mom and dad. You don't do drugs. You don't drink. You don't get into trouble. You pray. You thank your Lord Jesus Christ as often as you can. You play football and you play with energy. You don't get mad at people. You don't treat people with disrespect. And you're a villain. How did it happen? Why do people hate him? I don't get it. I'm trying to understand it. But somebody help me out, please. Somebody help me out. JC, do you watch football? Do you watch Chase? Do you watch this guy?
I've been watching. I'm not a big, huge football fan. I don't watch until the playoffs and obviously the Super Bowl. But I've heard about him, and I really don't know enough about him. Only from what I've read.
Everything I just said is exactly it. Listen to me.
You sound like a regular old Mother Teresa with shoulder pads.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? Guess what? Who were they voting for comeback player of the year last year? Michael Vick.
Michael Vick.
Man shot and electrocuted dogs.
Yeah.
Shot and electrocuted
Michael
dogs.
Vick did not do that. The people in his family or
Chinese farmer.
His surroundings did that. He was not doing that himself.
His response, well, what did he go to jail for? He went to jail.
Because somebody had to go to jail. That's why. Somebody
no.
had to go.
No,
man owned the house and owned the property where
That's
the
right.
crime took place, and
yes.
somebody had to go down for it.
Yes,
are you
exactly.
listening to yourself, Mary?
Mary, are you listening to yourself? He owned the house. He owned the facility. He ran dog fighting in his home. That's what he went to jail for.
Hold up. I never said he ran dog fighting in his house, okay? I never said that.
He did have dog
fighting. What I said was he owned the house and he owned the grounds in which where his people had these things going on. They're horrific things. No one should ever do anything like that to anybody, any animals, anything, okay? And that's all said and done, but somebody had to go down for it. And of course,
you're forgetting one thing, Barry. Mary, you're forgetting
what?
One thing. He financially benefited from it.
Yes, he did. That's it. He financially benefited from killing and using dogs for game
yeah.
purposes. And he used it. But now this is what I'm saying, is that even though when PETA was standing outside of the Philadelphia Eagles, Lincoln Field or whatever it is, when they were outside there, people said, oh, PETA, go home. You're over-exaggerating. He did his time. Let him do his job. But again, they wanted to vote him comeback player of the year. So, again, you know, you got Ben Roethlisberger. He's got two sexual charges against him. You know, he crashes a motorcycle. You know, he's out clubbing, you know, and accused of, you know, touching some college girl at a nightclub in Georgia. I mean, come on. These guys are revered. You know, they are. But a guy like Tim Tebow.
Yeah, wait a minute. But look what happened with Ben Roethlisberger. He's accused of touching girls or whatever he was accused of. I don't know the entire story, but I do know some of it, and I am a huge football fan. Go New York Giants.
Had to get that plug in, did you?
Yeah, I sure did.
Go on.
We sent some Falcons flying. But now look at what didn't happen to Ben Roethlisberger, and look how they did Vic. Vic had to go to jail. Vic had to pay all this money. Vic had to do time. He had to pay for his crime that
well,
he probably
prove.
Wasn't even ever there for.
But
it wasn't even ever.
No. First of all, Vic admitted to shooting and electrocuting dogs.
Yeah.
That's what did he time
really?
For. Yes.
Yeah.
Of course he did.
Well, where was
he admitted to that.
Here?
I don't. That's okay, but he admitted to that. But what I'm saying is that they gave him a second chance. Now, I'm not saying that Michael Vick didn't deserve a second chance. He did his time. A team took him in. He excelled. And you know what? We forgive you, and we keep moving on. I'm not trying to use Vick as to say why reward him and not. Well, yes, I am. Why would you reward Michael Vick for, you know, he did something wrong. You gave him a second chance. But here's a guy. They almost sent like his expression of loving Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior is some sort of bad thing. Like, it annoys people. I mean, you don't like Jesus? I mean, come on.
They're probably confused. I want to know. They probably don't know how to deal with him because he's not like most of the other NFL players that are out selling drugs like the guy from the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, look like the guy
heard
exactly.
But he's the guy. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And why is he not getting any booty? What is that about? You said he doesn't get any booty.
Listen, he's.
You can love God and get booty.
he doesn't want to get. He believes. I can't believe he said that. He wants to save himself from marriage. And look, he's trying really, really hard. And you know what?
He's an underdog. That's what I like him. When everyone says he couldn't do it, they said he couldn't play high school football. They said he couldn't play college football. He won two Heisman trophies. He won a Heisman trophy as a sophomore. You know, I mean, that is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about this young guy. And he's an inspirational figure. The game that he won last night, 11 seconds. 11 seconds into overtime, breaking all of John Elway's records. Elway didn't even like this guy, and Elway's the president of, you know, operations and doesn't even like this kid. This guy's getting raked over the coals, and I don't understand why. He should be somebody that the NFL is looking to inspire other people to be like. The only time, I mean, come on, this is unfair. Let's try this on for size. What happens every time a guy breaks his neck and gets severely injured on the field? You see a whole bunch of players going off to the sideline and having a prayer circle. Tebow gets down on one knee after he scores or after he has a tough time, and he asks for God to show him the way, and that's a bad thing? So we only pray for the bad times, not the good times. We don't pray when we want to be reflective. We want to show our love to the Lord Jesus Christ. What's so bad about that? What's the hatred of the man? That's what I'm going to say. They say the word they use about a guy who loves Jesus is we hate him.
Who says that? Who says they hate him? Like, I mean, I hear all the rigmarole.
Go online. Go online. I watch this comedian. There's a comedian who's on The Daily Show. He's an English guy. He was giving a speech outside. He said, I'll never forget it. I'm going to get the audio for you tomorrow. The guy said, he was doing some comedy outside, and he said, if I had a gun and I had Osama bin Laden and Tebow in the room, he goes, I'd shoot Osama bin Laden, of course. I'm not, you know, he's a monster. He said, but if I had two bullets, I'd shoot Osama bin Laden and Tim Tebow. And the crowd cheered. I mean, come on.
First of all, we're talking about football here. We're not talking about terrorism. How do you compare Osama bin Laden and Tebow? How do you even put them two on the same stage?
It's comedy.
But I understand that it's comedy, but for you to even reference the two people together is insane. All right, now listen.
I'm not a Denver Broncos fan. I'm a New York Giants fan. True and through. I've walked around with my little New York Giants pocketbook all weekend.
All right, we get it. You're a fan. I get it. Damn it. All right, you're in the playoffs. Stop rubbing it in.
Get over yourself.
Yeah, James, what do you think the hatred of Tim Tebow is?
Oh, well, because everybody likes the bad boy, all right? Everyone likes the comeback story. It's like, you know, being a good guy doesn't sell papers. It doesn't put people in the seats. So
you have to
tear them down in order to build them up.
So you're saying if he fails miserably and he comes back and he becomes great, we'll like him again.
Yes.
At a good point.
Look at it. Okay, like you said, Michael Vick. Plexico Burris shoots himself, and other people of that ilk. They are always, you know, it's what's expected. You're an NFL, you're a sports superstar. You're supposed to be getting pale and drunk and any chance you get. Here's a guy who's going against the accepted norm. I say accepted norm. All right, and it's like, well, I don't know how to relate to that. I can't live vicariously through that.
But, okay, so you're saying that football is a bad boy sport.
Sports are a bad boy sport, period. I mean, we live in a nation where...
Wait a minute,
golf
is not a bad boy sport. I don't care how you put it.
You know what? Wait, hold on, Jamie. She makes a valid point. Wait. That's the point she's making. Mary, you make a very, very valid point. Because what destroyed Tiger Woods was scandal. And, you know, you're right.
Bad boy.
No. Listen to what she said. Golf isn't a bad sport. She's nailed it on the head. Because if it was, then the fact that Tiger Woods was this bad boy wouldn't have been so reflected. I mean, it wouldn't have been so taken in a negative way. I mean, Tiger Woods would have been revered for sleeping with 17, 18 women. You know, and I think you're absolutely right. So that's one sport. But here's the question, Mary. Do you think that the world would hate Tiger Woods if he was thanking his Lord Jesus Christ every time he got a hole in one?
No.
You think they like him because he was a great golfer?
I think that golf has a totally different audience than the NFL does.
I think that is
wherein lies the problem.
It's the society we live in.
Well, I think Jamie makes a valid point. I'm sorry I have to keep putting him on hold, but his feedback is killing me. But but I think James makes a valid point, is that you can't live vicariously through a guy like Tebow because, in essence, with the exception of his football play, he appears perfect.
Right.
You know, he doesn't do drugs. He doesn't drink. He thanks his Lord Jesus Christ. He loves his mother and father. He eats his Wheaties. You know, he finishes his vegetables.
And he doesn't get any booty. Don't forget about it. That's
the society that we live in.
I don't understand why that would be a negative thing. But you know what? I guess it is a valid point. But I don't, again, I go right back to that argument about hate.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it for 1 minute. I don't believe it.
Nobody does. Nobody does. I spoke to people yesterday, and they all said he had a great game because he had sex. Everybody said the reason why he had a great game because he had sex last night.
I think that he probably wouldn't have had a great game because he had sex. I think that, you know, that might have hindered his game a little bit. You know how us women are, scandalous. I think that would have hindered his game. I don't think that that would have helped his game, especially if he's never had any booty before and that night was the first night. There was no way he was making it to the field.
Well, okay, so enough about Tim Tebow. Let's talk about your beloved Giants. You're so happy about their win. So I guess you're so excited that they're going to – now, listen, they're going to have a tough time against Green Bay. The last time they faced Green Bay, they faced – and that was their run to the Super Bowl. They faced an interception-prone – Brett Favre, and they're going to be going up against.
Brett Favre doesn't play for Green Bay anymore, so all of that
is terrible. Exactly. So that's my point, is that they're playing against a very accurate, very good Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Look, I know I'm going to be asking you a dumb question about who you got, but are you a little concerned about whether or not the Giants will be able to pull it off in Lambeau Field? I mean, they don't have Michael Strahan anymore. You know, they don't have. You know, I don't care too much for this victory.
Michael Strahan was great when he was on the team, but we don't need Michael Strahan.
Well, you got Pierre Paul. Pierre Paul is a good player. I mean, don't get me wrong. You've got Justin Tuck, who's a damn good player. I give a lot of guys players. And, you know, Ahmad Bradshaw's been playing well. You got a lot of players who are, you know, Hakeem Nicks played well yesterday. Victor Cruz was all right. He wasn't all over the place. But, Eli looked okay. He didn't win handedly. I mean, that stupid. Eli looked okay. He didn't look fantastic. He looked okay. I think that, you know, Atlanta's got a problem with playing outdoors anyway, especially in playoff games. But it was a very, very rookie move by Eli Manning when he got that safety in the end zone. Other than that, the Falcons didn't score 1 point. It pretty much would have been a shutout otherwise.
What's going to happen in Green Bay is the same thing that happened in 2007 when we went against the undefeated New England Patriots.
You really
we beat them in the Super Bowl. That's what's going to happen with the Green Bay Packers. They are undefeated as of right now, if I stand correct.
No, Green Bay Packers have lost. They've lost a few. They lost against Kansas City, a team that didn't even go into the playoffs. But
it doesn't even matter that I understand what you're saying. You're saying that they're going to make a run all the way to the Super Bowl. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team this year.
Nobody thought they were a Super Bowl team in 2007 either.
That's not
they
true.
Have never. No, yes, it is true. If
well,
you
okay,
go
right, you're partially
look.
You're partially true because they were on the road. They were on the road. They were a wild card team. They had to travel. There's no way they could beat all those teams and end up. Look, the NFC Championship game, I give it to you. The NFC Championship game, I was rooting for Green Bay and the Giants smacked them. James will tell you, he called me at my home in New Jersey and wouldn't stop laughing. My little brother, who's a huge Green Bay fan, I think cried that night. But that being said, I wouldn't have suspected that the New England Patriots would have lost that game against the Giants. It was a close game for the Giants to win. It was a big win. Again, I commend you. You guys fooled me. I thought that score was going to be 55-15 or something. I thought it was going to be a whipping beyond repair. But the Giants came and pulled it off. But they're not that team this year. I think the Green Bay Packers.
I think we are that team this year because now Eli and Victor Cruz and Mario Manningham, and our
Hicks, or
our offensive line and our defensive line has, you know, all of our players that were out hurt, they're back now. They're playing. They're healthy. They're ready to go. So
all right, we'll see. Listen, you'll be the first person I call on Monday or that night. You'll be the first person that I call, and, you know, you'll either – well, actually, let's just say I'll call you when you lose, and I'm sure I'll be hearing from you when you win. But I seriously doubt that –
Monday – are we playing – we're playing Monday night or Sunday?
No, you're playing – you know what? That's a great question. I think that game – and I'll have to check because I've been looking all night. For some reason, I can't seem to keep the schedule in my head. But – the NFL playoff games are as – excuse me, if this could go any faster, folks. Okay, so Saturday –
Sunday night, we'll be on air talking about it.
Yeah. No, we'll be talking about it. But, yeah, but Sunday – I mean, sorry, Saturday at 4:30 is the New Orleans Saints in San Francisco. And then, of course, a game that I know will probably get more viewers than any game that weekend is going to be the Denver Broncos versus the New England Patriots – at 8 p.m. on CBS, and that'll be, you know, Tim Tebow going up against the Patriots after a game they already lost a couple of weeks ago. And the Giants will be playing at 4:30 against the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay, and that'll be happening at 4:30 on Fox. And the Houston Texans, a game that actually I think that no one is going to watch this game. I don't think anyone's going to watch the Houston-Baltimore game at 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Now, you know what? I like the Baltimore Ravens, okay? I'm a Giants fan true and through, but the Baltimore Ravens is the only live game I have ever been to see, and it was actually the night that Brett Favre – it was supposed to be Brett Favre's last game.
Right.
And, of course, you know, he went back and forth with that forever. So how long ago that was. That's the only live game I've ever seen in the Baltimore Ravens whipped their tails.
So you
are freezing cold.
Well, isn't that interesting? Aren't the Baltimore Ravens the same guys who beat your beloved Giants back in 2005?
Oh, yes. And I'm hoping.
Well, no. Was it 2005 or was it earlier than that?
I think it was earlier than that.
It was
I'm pretty
that.
Sure that it was earlier than that. We went to the Super Bowl. Well,
Kerry Collins was
your
quarterback.
We went to the Super Bowl, and we lost.
Yeah, so
they
against,
won. So I'm hoping that maybe this year – We'll both go to the Super Bowl and we'll win.
Yeah, well, you don't want to face the Ravens' defense this year. But
Eli actually broke Johnny Unitas' record 2 games ago for the most thrown touchdowns
in the fourth quarter. Yeah, it was 15. You're absolutely right. You know your football there, young lady.
I'm jealous.
How are you jealous?
Because I don't do football like that.
Well, you know what? I'm glad to have somebody on here who does. So,
she sounds like a female version of you.
Yeah,
talking about it.
What I find even scary about that is that, you know, Mary, you talk about football, but what does this guy JC want to talk about? Oh, he can't
wrestling.
Wait to talk. He wants to talk about Lindsay Lohan. That's who he wants.
No, he wants to talk about wrestling.
Yeah, wrestling. A real sport.
A real sport when you learn how to do acrobats.
Who's your pick at WrestleMania, Mary?
Who's in WrestleMania this year? Exactly. Who watches
The
that?
Rock versus John Cena.
The Rock versus... Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I might digress there, Mary. I might want to check that out. All right.
Hey, real quick, for the record.
Yeah, go ahead.
For the record, Vin Baker, he played for Milwaukee, Seattle, Boston, and New York Knicks.
Oh, he played for Boston, at least.
Houston Rockets, LA Clippers, and Minnesota Timberwolves.
Who didn't he play for? Jeez.
Obama's neighbor.
Exactly. All right, it's Reese on the Radio. We'll be back. Stick around. 347-308-8701.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right.
It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
All right, we're back at Reese on the Radio. Last half hour of the show. And the beginning of the week. So welcome to your week. Hope you had a great one. What do we talk about today? Let's see. Let's recap. So we played the G-Dep interview. Bad boy rapper G-Dep locked up in jail. Facing 15 years to life for a murder that took place 18 years ago that he confessed to back in 2010. What else do we have? Well, we talked about racism in America. Racism all the time, right here on Reese on the Radio. We talked about the Atlanta school system, asking kids about racism, how many times did Frederick Douglass get beaten if he was beaten twice a day. There's nothing funnier than that. We talked about Papa John's apologizing for a racial slur, Lady Slanty Eyes, or Chinky Eyes, I think that's what it was, for her on her receipt. Young lady was fired. And lastly, don't want to get caught in a bad neighborhood? There's an app for that. Apparently, Microsoft is making an app to keep you out of the hood. It's going to break down stats from crime statistics, that is going to keep you out of bad neighborhoods. Recalibrating, you probably want to get out of here. That's the new statistics. And we talked about Tim Tebow. And Tebow and him winning that playoff game yesterday against Pittsburgh and getting back in or continuing to stay in the playoffs. He'll be facing New England Patriots on Saturday at 8 p.m. And I'm really looking forward to that game because it'll be his second meeting against New England, where New England really put a pounding on him. The last time, so he'll be going back there again. And I wonder whether or not Jesus is going to be on his side when he gets up there. And, of course, we introduce Mary Mary, why are you bugging, to the show. Mary Mary is joined the team.
Mary Mary, why are you bugging?
I love that. Anyway. Mary's on the line now. James, he's fixed his feedback problem. Hello, James.
Hello.
Back on the air? Oh, there we go. No more feedback. JC's back on the line. We talked about all of that today. Even Mary's sister called in to let us know that she was an independent because she can't decide on exactly which side she wants to join. That's unfortunate. She lives in Alabama. She does believe that it is the Democrats who are the racists because she lives in racist-ass Alabama.
Stop plugging my sister, okay? And just for my sister's sake, since she agreed with you, I'll do her a favor. Go Roll Tide, Trish.
Oh, I don't even know what that means. Is that some personal little threat that you just made to her?
No. You know, in Alabama and in the South and in Georgia and all these southern...
Oh, well, that's right. So she's Alabama, so she's got the Crimson Tide.
Exactly, and they're playing a big game tonight, a championship game or something.
That's right, they're playing a bowl game against LSU And, yeah, I would probably put my money on Alabama. I would definitely put my Now, hold on. Now, listen, I wanted to bring this up before, you know, before we go. I didn't know whether or not I was going to talk about this story, but I saw it on Drudge Report. And, you know, every time I see these stories, I always say to myself, don't bring them up, because I always surprise the guys with some of these stories. Sometimes I let them know what we're going to talk about, but I'm never going to I never give them my angle on the story. I just talk about what I talk about, and, you know, they're surprised at my angle on it. You know, and they give their own opinions, which they should. So when I read this story, it didn't really surprise me, but it did make some news. So I'm going to take this time to get into a little bit of celebrity nonsense today. The first piece of celebrity nonsense, I don't know if anybody heard this, but during an interview, rapper Snoop Dogg suggested that if he met with Barack Obama, he would tell Obama to legalize marijuana. What,
you know what? How did I know you were going to say that? I was, before you said that, I was just about to.
But what,
and
makes,
I haven't even read it.
What makes this even more ridiculous is that, okay, if Snoop Dogg makes that claim on some two-bit radio show that, you know, plays hip-hop and R&B, that's fine. You know, but the only reason why I know about this story is because the article was in Politico, which is a political website that literally, I mean, they're, you know, they're a legitimate news source, Politico. Why would they be covering Snoop Dogg talking about how he would ask President Obama to legalize marijuana? Like, why is that news?
Why is it not? What's wrong with legalizing marijuana?
Oh, okay, so great. Now we know where Mary's stand is on this. So you'd like the legalization of marijuana. So, fine, let's have the discussion if we must. I was going to talk about Blue Ivy.
Oh, I was waiting for you to talk about that because I heard about that. Beyonce and Jay-Z welcomed their new daughter, Blue Ivy, to the world.
Nobody's talking about Blue Ivy.
No, my thing is they shut down the whole hospital. People couldn't even see their own children.
That was even
better. That's just...
Again,
first of all, I don't know why there wasn't a riot, because no one was going to keep me from my child. I don't care how big you are. And I'm sure they had to have some pretty big guys saying, you're not on the list. So,
That's hilarious. But anyway.
I mean, how do you make a hospital wing into a VIP room?
Exactly. But here's my point. I'll go into Blue Ivy in a little bit because I really need to talk about this name. But back to Snoop Dogg. Here's my question. Mary, if you believe in the legalization of marijuana, here's my argument. Okay? One.
Go for it.
How do we keep it out of the hands of minors?
We don't now.
We don't
keep it out of the hands of minors. But hold on. When Snoop Dogg said in his article, and I'll show you the article because I'll read it to you. I'll read it to you exactly what it is that he said, because, see, this is where I have the argument with these liberals who always want to legalize pot, real textbook liberalism, legalize pot, but they don't even look at the circumstances. Listen to what Snoop Dogg says, and it's the same argument that every liberal makes. But by the way, before I play that, hold on.
You are the worst person I know. I think what I hate most about you is your textbook liberal agenda, how we should legalize pot, man, how big business is crushing the underclass, how homelessness is the biggest tragedy in America. Well, what have you done to help? I work down at the soup kitchen. Never seen you down there. You want to help?
Yeah, so anyway, just to bring that up. But hold on, let me read what Snoop Dogg said. And Politico wrote in the article, lots of celebrities want to meet the president, and they often come with their own pet requests. Sign this or that, take a picture with my kid, how can I steal a hand towel from the White House bathroom? But Snoop Dogg wants something different. The rapper has been a longtime advocate for the legalization of marijuana and a frequent user of it, and spoke at Hot 99's Kobe Knapp about the subject and how he might convince President Obama to support a change in the country's drug laws. Before I even say hi to President Obama, I would change the aroma in the room.
Oh, Lord.
I want you to read it yourself. And then he would start conversing after we had that aroma change. You know what I'm talking about. Snoop also proposed to have rapper Wiz Khalifa do the same, adding, they legalize alcohol, they legalize tobacco, what's it gonna hurt to legalize this medicinal medical marijuana that's used for people's cataracts? Now, again, that's always the same argument for everyone who wants to legalize marijuana. My question is, they did legalize alcohol, they did legalize tobacco. Here's my question. What did they do to ensure to keep it out of the hands of minors? They put those products...
First of all, it's not used for cataracts. It's used for glaucoma.
Yeah, I know. But okay. I'm just reading what, and you're absolutely right. That's what
I know. It's used for glaucoma to keep the pressure down. The marijuana allows the pressure to stay down in the aqueous humor of the eye. Anyway.
Hello.
Exactly.
Pretty and smart. What do you know?
Now, my point was, Mary, you're absolutely right, but then again, I'm saying consider the source. But here's my point. We regulated it. Again, how do we regulate marijuana?
Well, first and foremost, man, you regulate marijuana by taking it out of the hands of the drug dealers. One thing you can do, tax it, because ain't no drug dealer going to pay taxes on marijuana.
Yeah, but hold on. You can tax it, that's true, but guess what? Marijuana comes in from Mexico. And in order for you're going to legitimize the Mexican drug cartels who are going to bring their drugs into the United States, and we're going to tax them to bring it into the United States. Do you think the drug cartels are going to pay a tax? They're getting the drugs. That's right.
First of all, the government. About big drug cartels, marijuana is pretty low on that list.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And
the drug cartels are not even selling marijuana. I mean, it's pretty much considered a baby drug now.
It's not even a drug anymore.
The whole reason why the government doesn't want to legalize marijuana is because they're making more money off illegalization. They're not going to make as much money if they legalize it. That is the problem.
No, first of all, I think the bottom line about all of that is this. Tell a drug cartel that in order to bring their drugs into the country that you're going to tax it the way that you would any import.
But at least they can pay taxes and get it in. Right now, what are they doing?
Well, they're sneaking
it
in and they're not paying.
They're smuggling
it
in.
And they're paying nothing.
No, but they are paying. People are paying something, though, because... The poor people that they're getting to bring it over
That's right.
Are getting killed, are getting locked up. They lose hundreds and thousands of pounds in drug raids every year.
Now you don't have to lose anything. Yeah, if you're not going to lose anything now. Because we're going to tax it, we're going to allow it to come over legally, and then we're going to sell it in the stores. You know, a pack of Acapulco Gold, 20 joints.
We're doing it now.
What do you mean
we're doing it now?
They're doing it now. There are places where you can actually go to a store. They call it
medicinal marijuana. You're absolutely
medicinal
right.
Medicinal marijuana, whatever, but they're still selling Acapulco Gold. It's still...
California's doing it now. You're absolutely right.
So, hold on, wait a minute. The capital, Washington, D.C., the capital, has legalized medicinal marijuana. You can go to any doctor.
But it isn't a state.
And get
that's
prescribed why. Marijuana for medicinal purposes. However, there are no dispensaries in D.C. You would have to go, I think, as far as New Jersey. I think it's New Jersey, you would have to go to get it.
Yeah, but it's still a violation of federal law. No, it's not legal. It's still a violation of federal law. The state...
Yes, it still is a violation of federal law, but federal law is willing to turn a blind eye because
they have.
If it's a blind eye, they should smoke more marijuana.
What's that?
I said if it's a blind eye, they should smoke more marijuana.
Shut up. To keep them off the air. You're nothing. It's a blind guy.
Now, in the state of Colorado, you can walk around, I think, with
anything under an ounce of marijuana in your pocket and not get arrested for it.
Well, this is true. Massachusetts passed a law in 2008 that's the same exact law, that you get a desk appearance ticket for anything an ounce or under. And again, because they said that they didn't want to be clogging up the court systems with all of these petty sort of marijuana charges.
See, now think about what you just said. Clogging up the court systems, which means there's a lot of people smoking it.
I'm not disputing that.
There's a lot of people there doing it already. It's already done. You might as well just legalize it because, I mean, it's almost a part of American culture.
Nobody's getting in their car after smoking a blunt or a joint and killing anybody.
Here's my point with that. Well, here's my problem with that. The problem with legalizing marijuana, aside from the fact that there are going to be people who are possibly driving impaired, there are probably people going to be operating vehicles, people are trying
to...
Okay.
You can legalize it, but do it just like alcohol. It is illegal to drive under the influence of any alcohol or drugs.
Well, okay, fair enough. But that being said, my biggest problem with this issue is this. Is that people are under the impression that it's commonplace to smoke marijuana, or it's commonplace to, like, more people are doing it. The truth be told, there is about, if there is, there's no more than 6% of the United States population that smoke marijuana. That is the... But again, consider the number of the United States citizens. We're looking at 310 to 315 million people. So 5 to 6% of that, in that number, that's a considerable amount of people. That's a large amount of people, and people think that it's commonplace because they think that the number's in the millions. Well, look at it this way: 2% of 315 million works out to 7 million people. Okay?
You have a calculator with you tonight, Reese?
Trust me, I'm positive on this one.
You have a calculator with you tonight because the other night you.
I know. I
couldn't get
the number.
How many Frederick Douglasses is that?
How many Frederick Douglasses? But the point is that seems like a large number, but to 315 million people, 6% is not everybody, and that's not enough
it's
to
not
leave.
Not everybody, and no one is saying everybody.
Are you getting those numbers? You're only getting those numbers based off of whoever did that census data.
Whoever gave that information, right. You're absolutely right. There are not a lot of people who freely come forward and say that they smoke marijuana. But just because it's become a social norm, a term that you and I like to use a lot, Mary, just because it's become a social norm doesn't mean that it should be legal.
But why should it be legal? Why should it not be legal?
If it's a social norm, then it's practically legal.
Well, a social norm means that, no, a social norm, and when I use that terminology, a social norm, it's become an accepted behavior amongst certain groups, like single parents.
Right, accepted behavior in another term, is legal. When it's legal, it's accepted. Enforced.
A social norm is not something that we, in other words, it's been considered a social norm for teens to be pregnant. It's become a social norm for kids to smoke weed. It's become a social norm for single parenting. It's become a social norm for gay people to get married. There are social norms, because if you frown on those certain things, if you bring those up, if you talk about, well, there's too many single parents out there, then you're criticizing single-parent households. And that's, in essence, this is what I'm saying. Most people believe, or mainstream people believe, oh, you shouldn't be ragging on gay couples raising children, because that's normal now. That's nothing dictates a family. It's a social norm for a woman to have 5 kids and be a single mother. Those are social norms. Those aren't things that are right. They're just things that have been considered acceptable today. And that's what I'm saying. Is that when I say social norm, I'm talking about marijuana smoking or marijuana usage now is so passé, it's now become a social norm. It isn't legal.
It's so passé because they've done so much research to find out that it's not any more harmful to you than having a drink or smoking a cigarette, or it's not any more harmful than doing any of those things. And those things are legal too. So and it's legal for medicinal purposes. So if it's helping people medicinally, then what? Why not legalize it? You're
because
not people.
Most people are not
there,
using.
There's not a lot of research that.
What are they so afraid of, though?
What
are they so afraid of? Because it's not like you said it's 7% or something like that. That's a lot of people, and we're not rioting out in the streets.
I would say that once we legalize one drug, other advocates will then fight for other drugs. But hold on, James, there's a truth to this. If you look at a guy like George Soros, look him up. George Soros is trying to get the legalization of heroin. I mean, and this guy, yeah, man, and he is
heroin is basically legal now anyway. A form of heroin, which is
methadone.
You can go anywhere into a methadone clinic and get methadone. So they've legalized that for medicinal purposes too.
Well, again,
all right, with marijuana, you're not seeing people doped out and nodding out in the middle of the streets.
But once you give, one drug preferential treatment, you open the floodgates of others. Look, this is the people. This is the same argument.
That's what they said about cigarettes. That's what they said about alcohol. You know, and this whole gateway thing is really
not gateway. We're talking about the law. I'm not talking about gateway.
But it's being treated as a gateway. The law, right? But it's treating as a gateway law. All right. You're saying it's. You might as well say it's a gateway law. And you just said it. You open up the floodgates.
Certain. I agree with that.
So you're saying it's a gateway law. But I'm so tired of hearing that. It's such paranoia.
Don't you think, okay. This being said, James, try this on for size, okay? If there is a clear definition of marriage, right? And this is the argument that people make about gay marriage. If there's a clear definition of marriage, and it always has been, marriage is between a man and a woman, and then you decide to change the law that says, okay, now the statute of marriage is no longer between a man and a woman. It can be between a man and a man and a man and a man and a woman and a woman. Once you've skirted it, now you've already changed the law. Let's say the Supreme Court rules, that's it. You can no longer call marriage between a man and a woman. You can call it between a man and a man and a woman and a woman. There are going to be people out there who are going to say, that's not fair. We need to broaden the scope. If we can broaden it out of a man and a woman, then other groups will then say that they're being discriminated against.
What other groups are there?
James, come on. There are plenty of groups out there. There are plenty of.
Man and woman.
Bestiality.
Bestiality. See, again, you go straight for the.
Polyamory.
Polyamory. Okay.
Yeah,
well, you know what? That's already happening.
Two men, one woman. If we can say that
happening. They just happen to call them open marriages.
Well, again, even if it's called an open marriage, the bottom line is that the definition of marriage between a man and a woman, once that's diminished, then you can open the floodgates to anything else. So it becomes a gateway to anything else. That's what's going to happen. Then, you know, guys want to marry
what you're saying, but seriously, on a serious note, you cannot compare marijuana to heroin or crack cocaine.
But they're all illegal drugs.
I mean, we can't have 5 million Bobby Browns running around. So, you cannot compare the two. You can't.
JC, did you have an opinion?
Yeah, well, when one leads to another,
right.
And it usually stair steps, I see that there's a problem, and I kind of agree with Reese. There's not enough people in the country that are stating that they're doing it to appease them, to try to appease them.
Exactly. I don't think that the groups that are out there who are marijuana smokers have enough supporters to pass
right.
a law that would change it constitutionally and to now make this. Or put this in the same vein
is alcohol or tobacco. I don't believe that the support is out there enough. I don't
think
when you have dispensaries right next door to liquor stores, I think that's, you know, I think that's enough.
It's going to happen, and it's going to happen in our generation.
Well, I do agree with you there, Mary. And let me say this, and I've said this for probably about 3-4 years now. We are about 20 years away from the legalization of marijuana, without a doubt.
I don't think it's going to take 20 years.
I don't think it's going to take that long.
I don't think it's that far.
It's about 4:20 on my clock now.
All right. Okay. So since we have to, and it's the last 5 minutes of the show, because I didn't want to dedicate that much time to it, please, somebody just answer one question for me. Okay.
True.
What the hell is a blue ivy?
What happened to James, Jane, and all that? You got Apple and Rumor and Blue Ivy?
Listen.
That actually sounds like a form of marijuana.
Blue Ivy, you're absolutely right. Not only does it sound like a form of marijuana, when I first heard it, I went, Blue Ivy, okay, one, it sounds like a flower or a tree of some sort. And another thing that ran through my mind was, this sounds like a tacky drink. Like, it sounded like something, yeah, can I get a glass of Blue Ivy? Like something I would get at one of those, like, ghetto establishments that sell Alizé.
Only if he raps it in a song.
But I heard he had a song
then
out.
Well,
you know
it's coming.
Yeah,
you know it's
going to be
the
hottest drink in the club. You know it.
Well, wait a moment. According to the New York Daily News, he has a song out about the baby.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
But
you know what?
Now, was Beyonce really pregnant, and did she really give birth to this baby, or did they have a surrogate mother, or what? Because I saw her in an interview, and when she sat down in that interview, I could see the fact that she had some type of
prosthetic
around her belly, because I mean it was clear as day. I know everybody on here has probably seen it.
Oh, the baby
bump
conspiracy!
She dropped it like it's hot up until every concert she did until last week. Personally, I think Blue can't drive the mother. That's why the baby's named Blue. I think Blue can't might have been a surrogate, and that was his first love.
Well, you know, the thing is, I just say that it's. Even the name, it just goes to show that Jay-Z and Beyonce are media geniuses. They came up with a name that everybody was going to wonder about. Why? How'd you come up with it? There's been so many theories today.
There's a marketing strategy behind that baby name. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
There's a marketing strategy, of course.
There's Blue Ivy shades, Blue Ivy socks, Pampers.
There's going to be a whole children's line of clothes. Blue Ivy, watch. You heard it here, folks.
Oh, you probably are right. And I want to stick my head in the oven if that actually happens.
Oh, no. Somebody turned up to 350. It's a marketing ploy.
Hold on. Let me see if I can. Jay-Z raps sweet song about birth of daughter, apparently released yesterday. Hold on. Let me see if I can actually play this a little bit. See if we can get it before we go off the air. I'm stunned. Oh, come on. Now, see, I knew that was going to happen.
Are they going to make an app for that?
Yeah, they probably will make an app for it. There's a commercial for it. Let me see, to get past this commercial first and listen to this song. It's scary that he... He was in the studio just minutes before the baby was born, recording a record, which is... Oh, we've only got 90 seconds. Let me see if I can get something on this song. Hold on, let me see.
They better not walk into the ghetto, because anybody with a tom-tom ain't getting nothing.
Well, I don't know. Okay, I don't have any audio to the song. I'll get it tomorrow. Apparently there's some song that he put together where he raps about the baby, and we'll see, you know, we'll talk about it then. But of course, like we mentioned, tomorrow we're going to be talking about that 2020 report where the family was rocked by that false rape allegation from an autistic girl. with a facilitator who assisted in making the claim. As usual, folks, it's Reese on the Radio. We always appreciate you guys coming and taking the time to listen to the show. Welcome Mary to the show. Mary, why are you bugging? Jamie, as usual, James, thank you always for calling in. We appreciate your time and checking in with us and having a blast. We love you guys. We always will. 13 seconds left. It's time for us to go. Oh, okay. We'll play Quagmire.
You are the worst person I know. I think what I
hate love you guys. Bye.
It's a textbook liberal agenda, how we should legalize pot, man, how big business is crushing the underclass, how homelessness is the biggest tragedy in America. Well, what have you done to help? I work down at the soup kitchen. Never seen you down there. You want to help? Grab a ladle. And by the way, driving a Prius doesn't make you Jesus Christ. Oh, wait, you don't believe in Jesus Christ, or any religion for that matter, because religion is for idiots. Well, who the hell are you to talk down to anyone? But you know what? I can forgive all of that, all of it, if you weren't such a bore. That's the worst of it. You're just a big, sad bore.